Howdy everyone, this is Radio Free Nintendo 101, and no, that is not a college course. It's our episode that comes after episode 100, I think. But we have the regular crew here, minus John Lindemann, who, as usual, told me 15 minutes before recording time that he would not be able to make it, leaving me not many options and not much time to do anything about it. So in John's place, we have this lovely reader mail, listener mail, from Sarah. Sarah writes, "I love the show. It's my favorite podcast. I wonder why Greg gets all the love. John Lindemann has a silky smooth voice and is so funny. I just wish he talked more. Why is he so quiet? I have an idea. Maybe because he's not actually here."
I'm thinking he's still mourning the loss of Bobby Petrino as the coach of the Falcons. That guy was a real class act. I hear he's actually going to become an honorary Razorbacks fan now that he's gone to Arkansas, just because they were wedded to each other so deeply.
Did this happen recently?
No,
but he is just the biggest douchebag coach in the world, basically.
Petrino used to coach at my college. He was the offensive coordinator, and he is a bad mamma jamma when it comes to offense. But that man has no allegiances whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you've got $10-20 million to throw around, he will be your coach. And I mean, you know, I would do anything that people ask me probably for $10 million. But when you're already making $10 million at your job and someone offers you $12 million, like, maybe you should think about staying with your contract. I don't know. It just shows what bullshit contracts are in sports. I don't understand the idea of contracts. You know, like, I don't have a contract with the school that I go to, and most people who have jobs don't have contracts there. Why is it that sports stars and actors and home builders get contracts?
I'm
like, why does it not seem to matter if you breach it in certain sectors of society?
I have a contract, but if I breach it, I get fined a whole $100. So,
okay. Cool. Well, we're off to an auspicious start.
I'm just saying, I'd take that hard as well.
Nintendo World Report, your home for labor negotiation.
Indeed. And obscure college football talk. So, no, John is not here. Sarah from Iowa City, Iowa. And
You didn't finish, though.
Well, the rest of it's like a legitimate question that we'll save for some
other
time.
Okay. Well, I was actually getting to the point where her conjecture is that he's quiet because we bore him to sleep.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if we're boring, then why do people listen to us?
To hear
why do people tell us, and this leads into the next thing I was going to talk about, but why do people tell us that our 3.5 hour 100th episode was awesome and they wish we would make it? Some people are telling us they wish it would just be 100 hours long or something.
Never again are we doing 3.5 hours.
No, but I mean, we definitely appreciate all the kudos. We got a lot of really nice comments from people, not just about the specific episode 100, but just about the whole show, and I really appreciate it. And of course, I want to thank James again for a lot of hard work to put that together.
Well, I think,
and to Greg also for helping to dig up the old clips and everything.
Yeah,
and to Carl,
use my knowledge.
That's right, and Carl edited the segment with me and the old guys. So, a lot of thanks to be passed around. A lot of people worked to put that together. So, and I was really happy with it. I was excited to listen to it. So,
very boisterous.
Anyway,
your segment, wasn't it? It was the party atmosphere, I dare say.
It was. It was definitely a unique experience.
Yeah,
it was kind of hard to believe you weren't in the same room. Actually, which I suppose is something of a compliment.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Indeed.
We were happy to be talking with each other again. It was fun. So I guess we should move on to new business and get this segment rolling. So, James, you go first, please.
Well, surprisingly, despite the fact we've had a whole week off, I haven't actually done a whole lot of gaming. I've just been sort of, you know, taking care of what I've got to do around the house and stuff. But
you've been uploading assets.
Yes, I've uploaded a ton of assets. But and sometimes with our system, you have to do it at least twice. But weirdly, the game I played the most in our time off was Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is the Battlefield clone that they tacked the Star Wars license onto. Pandemic developed it, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And,
they're doing the Lord of the Rings sort of versionized one of it, aren't they, shortly? They're sort of giving the Lord of the Rings treatment to that game, essentially, I think, Pandemic.
Oh, shortly. Cool. That could actually be really interesting.
Pandemic, now owned by EA.
Yes.
Yeah, that's of course, right,
Interestingly, EA was the publisher of this game, I believe. Or a co-publisher. I believe that
along with LucasArts?
Yeah, I think EA might have been involved in this game. I'm not positive. I seem to recall seeing their logo somewhere on it, but now
that's
that I'm looking at it, maybe not.
And what system are you playing this on?
I'm actually playing the PC version.
PC, wow, okay. I know it was well known as a PSP game, I think, or else there was a follow-up maybe for the PSP when they released the Slim version.
Yeah, there was a PSP-esque version of it.
Okay.
But what most impressed me about this game wasn't the online fighting, because I actually felt like the online competition was better in the original, but was the narrative they took in the single-player mode. It's a very interesting approach to sort of bridging the gap between the first set of movies and the second set. So if you're
interesting approach.
Yeah, and they actually took it from the side of what is generally viewed as evil. So it's,
yeah,
it was sort of a nice way of looking at the whole mythology following one person's progression through it.
Yeah, so, I played quite a lot of this with a friend of mine who owned the PS2 version. And it's a lot of it's from the perspective of the clone / stormtroopers, and you get a lot of voice work from Temuera Morrison, the chap that played Jango Fett in the prequel
right.
trilogy.
Because they are all his clone. But it's the whole story is told as like a recollection of what he experienced in both the original war and in the later wars. So it's sort of an interesting side story, I guess would be a way of putting it. And there's a lot of stuff.
By the way, I think that's the first time I've ever heard Greg talk about PS2.
Yes, because I don't know.
Yes.
Right. That just struck me as funny when you mentioned it.
There's some.
So there was another Star Wars game that there have been a few that took the side of the Empire, or I guess in the Clone Wars it wasn't technically the Empire yet, it was still the Federation or the Republic.
Well, you could kind of pick either side as being the evil side in the prequel trilogy, because they're both controlled by Palpatine / Sidious.
Yeah,
right. That was the genius. And I think, although there's a lot of nasty dialogue in the prequel trilogy, I mean, just like really awkward shit that should have been cleaned up.
All of the romance scenes?
Yeah, they're bad. But I think the scripting of the plot and the creation of that timeline and the creating a really intricate lead up to the original three movies that actually works and is interesting on its own, I think Lucas did an amazing job with that. I mean, it's clear that he took a lot more time putting together the events and making them work, you know, and thinking about the politics and the manipulation of what's going on. Than he did about like what the Emperor should say to Anakin at this particular time. But the complexity of all that and seeing it all come together, especially in the third movie, as you finally start to see why things in the first and the second movie happen and how that all connects to 4, 5, and 6, it kind of blew me away. And I think when I go back and I watch the modern prequel trilogy, that stuff, I like that so much. I'm so into that I can forgive a lot of the other faults. But, I had originally started on that tangent to talk about TIE Fighter for the PC, which I played a lot as a kid, and then I got into
movies,
so I apologize. TIE Fighter, you get to play as the bad guys. Yeah, okay.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
And you get a tattoo electrified onto your arm.
Oh, dude, that shit was so awesome.
I just remember being awestruck by that video, but now that I think about it, it probably only had about 50 frames of animation.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I think I got every single primary, secondary, and bonus objective in the original game. I never could do a lot of them in the expansion pack, because you had to use the missile boat too much, and it was really hard to use. But
yeah.
Or it was either that or the TIE Advanced. And one of them was, like, very difficult to use, and you had to use it all the time. But anyway, like, the original game, I totally dominated that game. I played the shit out of it. So
yeah.
I'm glad you know it too, James.
Yeah, the only other really cool thing about Battlefront 2 over the original is they put in heroes, so you can be a Jedi or a Sith Lord, or in some cases, Jango Fett, excuse me. And it really feels like you're more powerful than everybody in the game, because you can basically just go on a tirade and annihilate everything. But it's time limited, so you can't completely dominate it.
Yeah,
so
the more people you kill, the more it sustains your time. So it's like it is running down, but
right.
You can kind of extend it by doing
better. And you can't regenerate health the normal way characters do. So you can't just stand there and get your health back. So it's a very, you know, it feels compelling, and it gives it to the best ranked player on that team. So you really try to do well so you can get it. And it sort of becomes self-perpetuating, because if you get it, you're going to do really well while you have it.
Yeah, that's what they say about the achievement bonuses in like Call of Duty 4 and stuff like that.
Yeah, they become sort of self-perpetuating,
because
they give you such an edge, and you already have an edge over everybody else.
It's also the opposite of Mario Kart Wii.
Yes, where if you have the edge, it beats you until you die. Thank you, Mario Kart Wii. And think, I would never thought my new business about a 3-year-old game could have gone on this long.
It is 3 years old, isn't it? Because it came out with Revenge of the Sith, so it must be just right on 3 years.
Yeah.
It came out in 2005 or 6.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, I'm sure it was either. It was either coincided with Revenge of the Sith the movie or the DVD maybe. But it was one of them. It was very, you know, it was like all synchronized.
You know what? What I don't get about the new Force Unleashed game, where you're playing again as the bad guy. You're playing as Darth Vader's apprentice, or his
secret
apprentice.
What
I thought the Sith always occurred in 2.
Yeah, he's not a Sith. I guess the out there would be he's not actually a Sith Lord. Like, they had a similar thing. Like,
no,
you know,
the
Clone Wars, like, you had, like, that woman, that female sort of dark side kind of user, like, went around killing people and stuff. And the out there was just that she wasn't technically a Sith. It's just a device that they used in the expanded ship to get around.
But they're basing an entire game around this. It just seems so out of canon. And Star Wars is the thing that people get really upset about.
They've based entire games around the concept of Dark Jedi before. They're not Sith, because the term didn't exist when they created it, but they've sort of taken that term, and I guess they can put people into it.
No, wait,
don't quite fit the
canon. I think the word Sith actually shows up in A New Hope.
I don't know what it does. But
I think they call Darth Vader the Sith Lord. I think they do.
I don't know whether they did, but they used it like outside, like it was in the books of the time and stuff. So the term was around.
Oh, okay.
The term was around, and of course,
well,
the fact
then,
that the derivation...
Then the existence of the... Because the existence of Dark Jedi, then, must mean there's some sort of connotation there that they're not quite Sith.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you use the dark side, but you're not a Sith. It's like, you know, that's it, really.
You're not out to dominate things. You just sort of use it for practicality.
Well, you're just not part of the club. The old white guys club, apart from when it suits them.
The old boys club.
I really liked the symmetry of establishing that there were always two at a time, you know, and basically Darth Maul died, and so then he made Count Dooku the apprentice, and then Anakin killed Count Dooku, but then didn't he?
Anakin killed him. He cut his head off.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, sorry, I'm getting mixed up now. But, so Anakin killed Count Dooku, and then eventually Anakin became the apprentice. And in Return of the Jedi, what the Emperor wanted Luke to do was kill Anakin, and then Luke could become the new apprentice.
Well, see, the as I understand it,
God, this
you
is
reach...
so geeky that we're even. Oh,
I know.
About
I love
this.
Star Wars, but you, you attain the rank of master by killing your master.
Yeah, that's right. Like Palpatine.
So that. Yeah, this could be his power play. Bringing in a secret apprentice would be his move to kill off his master and take the lead.
I don't think he would need to find an apprentice until he became the master.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. Well, it doesn't.
It
make
seems
sense.
Preemptive.
It doesn't
you know?
Make sense.
Unless he's not. Well, he might just not be confident that he could keep control by himself after he made that move.
He does kind of suck now he's in the suit. That's the problem. See, Palpatine, I think what Palpatine actually wanted was for Anakin to kill him and take his place, and then the most powerful person ever would have been the Sith Lord. But the problem was is that Anakin became rubbish. And so then that didn't really work anymore, and then he wanted Luke to do it instead.
Well, see, Greg, what you're discounting is the future remake of the original trilogy, in which they replace the stilted, robotically moving Darth Vader with a computer-generated version,
yeah,
where he's much more
like,
agile and scary.
He's all like Alec Guinness becomes like.
Yeah, and his breathing will be like, you know, he'll be the faster, the leaner, faster, stronger version, and he'll be like waving that thing all over the place and killing people. They'll add lots of new action scenes where he just slaughters the rebels. So, dear God, let's move on. Yeah. Greg.
Yes.
Oh, can we clapping?
Please. That was part of the show we just did.
Well, we never stopped recording, so it should still be all synced.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you think so.
We can clap. It doesn't matter. But I'm just saying that geeky-ass Star Wars conversation, that needs to go in the show.
Okay, yeah. I can retroactively sync everything.
You can't take it back.
Oh, we already did it. It's too
late. No!
Greg, look.
Oh, shit.
We haven't sold magic cards on the podcast. And he was involved in this conversation. We're still okay.
No, what I liked is that this was like really far out geeky tangential shit, but all three of us were like into it. That's what I like. It
we're
wasn't just
okay,
one of
man.
Us ranting on, you know, fucking Ace Combat or Magic the Gathering.
There's nothing geeky about Ace Combat.
Okay, let's clap. So, yep. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, Greg, please tell me you have some new business.
In the way of new business, I first of all finished off Zack and Wiki, well, in terms of just seeing the credits, finished it off. There's actually quite a surprising amount of bonus content and things, like little extra treasures and various little trinkets you could pick up, like including these little 8-bit pixel art of Capcom sort of history things, like little Mega Mans and...
Yeah, I found a couple of those.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's plenty of that stuff still to do, but the game's basically done, and my opinion certainly hasn't changed. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it. It was great to have such a wonderful, sort of unique experience on the Wii from a third party and everything, and I hope there'll be more of that sort of thing forthcoming from Capcom. I don't know whether the sales really justified it or not, but... That was great. So when I moved on from that, I kind of went all over the map with various different things. But one thing I was picking up and got into a bit, just a little bit so far, is the Pro Evolution Soccer 2008 for Wii.
Ooh.
And I can pretty much concur with what's been said on here in the past from John and Windy, who've touched on it a bit.
Believe at some point both of those guys were going to review the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Now no one's going to review
that
the game.
That was months ago, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think he came out in March in the US. So he actually came out first in the US for some reason, but anyway, I was a little behind.
The big soccer market.
I think basically with getting Brawl in March and then Mario Kart at the beginning of April with the review and all that, it just kind of got knocked out a bit. So I got into it a bit, and yeah, like I said, it definitely the primary way they've decided to implement the Wii Remote and all that works very well. The passing, the moving off the ball, all the things you could do with it as a team. You know, it is very much playing as a team, and I think it was you, Johnny, that referenced the sort of football as RTS or soccer as RTS kind of thing that's gone round, and it is a bit like that, because in one sense you have a lot more control because you can control people off the ball and you can do all these things that you couldn't do when you're just controlling one person with an analog stick. But on the other hand, it's kind of more indirect because you don't have so many sort of fine little maneuvers that you did when you was just controlling one player, like all the different step overs or all the different kinds of passing and all that. It's much more kind of, in that sense, it's kind of more streamlined. And like, for instance, the shooting on goal is done by a gesture with the nunchuck, and what that does obviously is it takes away the nuance you could get with like a little, in the other Pro Evo games for the PS2 you have like a power meter for your shot, you know, the longer you hold it down the stronger it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of taken away, so now it's more stats based. You know, if you've got a good player, someone who's good at finishing, they will...
So it's not related to how strongly you make the gesture?
No, the only sense...
Because it certainly could be.
Perhaps it could be. I mean, I guess boom blocks in how that...
Oh, yeah.
You know, that shows that perhaps it could be done. That isn't how they've gone for it. It really is strictly... The main way it's a function of what you're doing, other than just the statistics assigned to the player that you've got, is just the timing and like where physically your player is. Because when you're on the ball, you can use the analog stick to just, you know, dribble and all of it. So it does depend on like how well you're set up. You know, if you're shooting from a very awkward body position, the chances are it's not going to be a good shot or things like that. Huh. So you still have that kind of control. You know, you still have to sort of set yourself up right to take a shot. But the actual just simple act of taking a shot is pretty much automatic. You do the gesture and it happens, and you're more likely to score if you've got a good player, which, you know, is fair enough. I mean, there's obviously elements of that in the old Pro Evo games or any sports game. It's heavily influenced by the stats, so it's not particularly different. But there is something of a trade-off there in terms of you've got this great wider control on the one hand, and you do surrender some of the little minute details on the other. But in some ways that might...
Honestly, I think for most sports games that would probably be a good thing.
Well, yeah, you've spoken to this before about the thing with Madden that it's too much, you know, for such a mainstream...
Yeah, like you don't need independent control of all four of the person's limbs.
Yeah, I think it's a very legitimate point for something as mainstream as, you know, a very popular sports game, whether it be for soccer in Europe and the rest of the world, or for the NFL in America, that, you know, you have this arcane button combinations that really have been layered on top of each other over many years. You know, it's almost like sort of silt building up on a riverbank or something, because you're going back to you know, the Mega Drive or the Genesis or whatever, the Madden, you know, you've got three buttons and a D-pad, you know, how complicated could it be? And then over time, and you know, it's just got out of control, really. So in that sense, this kind of reins that back in once you get your head around using the pointer so heavily, and that in itself can be a bit daunting at first. But once you get past that, in some sense, it's kind of more accessible. It's very intuitive. The only exception I would make to that is the defending is a bit less intuitive, because the difference with the defending, of course, is that when you're attacking, there's always, it's anchored by the fact that one of the people has the ball on your team, and you are controlling him with the analog stick while you're sort of doing everything else with the pointer. When you're playing defense, it's more a case of like everything's kind of indirect. You don't have direct control of anybody, so it's very, then it gets even more RTS-y in terms of, it's like, okay, so you mark this guy and that guy marks that guy and this guy drops into this area and stuff. And that's kind of, it doesn't feel quite as intuitive and immediate as the attacking. And it's, at least at first, it's, from my experience, it seems to weigh heavily in the favor of attacking. So, I mean, again, that might not be...
And it's just plain hard to defend against a Zerg Rush.
You know, it's just like, what I would say is just that, you know, it is kind of not necessarily a bad thing that it favours the attack for a lot of people who might not be hardcore soccer fans, because they might prefer the idea of a lot of scoring. But I think in time, I think you could probably get more acclimated to it and do better. But it's just, I think, clearly when one's picking up the game, you pick up the offense quicker than the defense, for certain. And there may be a longer term imbalance there, but that's
general. Well, you know, in like in say the Madden series, there's sort of this legacy of like, year after year. Like, 1 year they'll upgrade the offense, and the next year they'll upgrade the defense.
Yeah.
They seem to have a hard time doing both in the same year. So maybe next year's Pro Evolution will have improved.
Well,
they may
make some changes. Apparently FIFA is going to, you know, the EA soccer franchise is going to co-opt this pointer-driven control scheme
for the first time. Pretty much the entire EA Sports lineup. Peter Moore, who, you know, the former Sega, then Xbox, now
Man's
EA
had more
guy,
jobs than
yeah, he
I've
gets
had
around.
Classes in college.
But Peter Moore announced on his EA blog a few weeks ago that basically they're creating like an entire lineup of sports games specifically for the Wii.
Well,
and
well,
I'm wondering if they've been inspired by Pro Evolution.
Hold on, because remember, they did Family Play on Madden before Pro Evolution came out.
Yeah, but they're not talking about a
Family Play is
going to redesign the games for Wii.
Like,
they're going to look different
form.
And everything.
I mean, Family Play is reduced form. It's not really a different form. It's take you take the nunchuck away, and a lot of things are done for you, and then obviously it's easy
right.
for a child.
It's just
something.
One button mode.
Yeah,
it's not a different
game. Here's the thing. About this sort of new perspective they're doing, I'm trying to write a preview on NCAA Football 09 for the Wii because I'm signed up to review it. And just from looking at the fact sheets on their website, it looks like they've removed the game and replaced it with just Family Play on the
really?
Wii.
Really? Good grief.
And they don't mention anything other than Family Play in the fact sheet, and it's almost kind of frightening.
I mean, that just could be a spin issue. I mean, it could be just that's how they want to emphasize things in the fact sheet, is that somehow
right.
to assert differences that perhaps might not be there by emphasizing Family Play. But
not to even mention things like you can compete in career mode or legacy mode. It's just like, there's Family Play.
Grandma doesn't care about career mode, James.
And you can play with mascots.
Well, what?
Fuck, you can play with mascots for
yeah,
years.
Yeah, you can
ago.
Play with mascots in the old game.
Really?
That's not a new feature.
I've never played in the college football ones. I've just played Madden.
They're like, look, here's the Longhorns playing Sparty the Spartan. Isn't this great? No, it's not fucking great. I want to know what the hell's in the game. I can't write a preview based on Family Play.
It does seem like
we'll have to inquire further.
A very cynical
right?
press release there in terms of trying to steer you towards some of these sort of wackier, sort of less nuts and bolts kind of issues. But certainly FIFA seems to be taking from it. But, I mean, they're wise too, because ultimately, whatever the trade-offs are and all that, I think it's an excellent, excellent game in itself, Pro Evo. And this is a great new way to play. And I think, you know, for people who are not necessarily so familiar with soccer, it's probably more instructive about what actually goes on in the game, you know, because you are getting more of a sense of what the team is doing, the movement off the ball, the kinds of passes they play, and then in turn how the defence responds to that. So for people that aren't soccer fans, this is probably, as I've said, in some sense more accessible, more intuitive, and then I think you might actually get more of a sense of what the game's really about in real life from playing this, whereas it's so focused on just one, the old games, and I've played them and enjoyed them with friends and things, but they're so focused on that what you do with that one person, and then everything else is just the AI. It's not really reflective so much of football as a game. You know, it's not as natural as, say, with the quarterback in the NFL. It's very naturally the centre of attention.
I think in general. Right. I think in general, playing, you know, a game is a good way to learn more about the sport itself. Because, I mean, I've watched football for years, but when I bought, I think it was NCAA 03 used at GameStop for 98 cents and played it a fair amount, I actually, you know, really had a deeper understanding of the game as a whole. Because you do have to see everything as how it's going, or you're going to. Well, the AI was stupid, so you'd win anyway. But if the AI were good, you know, there's a certain amount of thought. Hypothetically, you'd learn more about it. You know, more of the nuts and bolts of how the game's played.
I'm getting confused by switching back and forth between football and football.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Well, that's why I made sure to put the NCAA in there.
Yeah. So, Greg, can you play Pro Evo Soccer with the old school controls and gameplay if you want to?
No, there's no option for that. It is the way it is. That's understandable because the game, it must be quite, I mean, graphically, it looks very reminiscent of the PS2 version, unsurprisingly, but that's not really of any tremendous concern. The rest of it, you know, in terms of how the AI functions, you know, and everything, because that's the thing, obviously, a lot of, especially with the defense, if you can imagine, you know, you it is incumbent on you to tell people what to do. So naturally, the ambient AI isn't doing a whole lot. Now, if you go back to the old scheme, the ambient the AI would have to do a lot more. And so, therefore, it isn't just as simple as switching the inputs out. It would, you know, you would have to have completely different kind of behaviors and things. So I can understand why that isn't in there.
It would be quite a different mode. I guess it would be almost like two games in one.
Yes, and I can understand why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you've really already analyzed this game pretty thoroughly. Maybe you can write the review. I don't know.
Impossible.
What do you think about that, John?
Impossible. We're not allowed to review this game, apparently.
Yeah. There's a curse. Okay,
it's the Bui curse.
I guess it's my turn to wrap up the new business, and I'm not going to talk about the $20 games I've been playing because you can read about it on our new staff blog.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what I was doing basically the week while James was editing the episode 100.
Rubbing it in.
After we recorded that, for about the next week, I played those games. In the past week, since we skipped a show, I've mainly been playing Dr. Mario Online RX, online prescription, and that's my first and only WiiWare game so far. And I wasn't really planning on downloading it because I don't really think Dr. Mario is all that awesome, but I think it's kind of like a poor man's Tetris, but my girlfriend loves Dr. Mario, so when she heard about it, she really wanted me to get it, and so I was like, okay, fine, we can play it together or whatever. And it has a good has two-player versus mode, and then you can also do the Virus Buster cooperatively with up to four people. And actually, I think Virus Buster is the reason to buy the game if you're going to buy it. I love this. This is the one where you point at the screen and you move the pills around by dragging them with a pointer.
Yeah.
And it's almost identical to Virus Buster in Brain Age 2, which was probably my favorite part of Brain Age 2. And on there, it works the same way. You just on the DS, you just use the touchscreen, and in this you point. But the instructions on it are rather poor. It's not really clear that you can play with up to four people, because when you go to Virus Buster, it doesn't ask you how many players there are. It just detects how many Wii remotes are active. And at first we were disappointed. We're like, wow, I really thought this was going to be two player. You know, like, I remembered in the video seeing two pointers.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend was like, well, I guess I'll watch you play. And I'm playing it, and it shows like a line from this Roman numeral 1 at the bottom, and I looked over, and there's also a Roman numeral 2. And I was like, hey, pick up your controller and point at the screen. And she did, and now she's playing 2. So basically, like, it's always multiplayer if there are other controllers,
right,
but they don't have to join in if you don't want to. It's weird.
Yeah. Is this a product?
It's very strange. It's poorly explained.
Is this a product of the operations guide, sort of? Because isn't the operations guide like really weirdly handled with WiiWare because of the memory stuff? Like,
yes.
It is.
I actually wanted to look at the operations guide. It's not like Virtual Console. You hit home and all it shows is is like one screen with the controls, basically. And then there's a button at the bottom that says read the full operations guide. And when you do that, it exits you out of the game and takes you to the Wii Shop channel.
Yes. Yes.
And loads it up directly there. And so then you read it on a web browser interface. And then when you're done, or a Wii Shop channel interface, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you're done reading it, you basically back out and it takes you back to the WiiWare game, except now it's reset to the beginning.
Yeah, it
it's
did not
really
save your
clunky
progress. And it warns you, at least it warned me in Final Fantasy, my title's too long. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're going to lose all the things you've done. It's, what the fuck? This is the worst
instructions
ever.
It's very curious. I mean, because when one considers memory constraints, I mean, how much is the manual, really? I mean,
It's text.
Well, you know, I think they're bumping up in such a low ceiling on WiiWare already.
I mean,
already,
Dr. Mario, with the bigger games, fine. I mean, if it's about fitting in everything you can, then that's what. But Dr. Mario's actually not that big. I understand it's around 90 blocks in the US.
That doesn't... Right, it's not that big. And, you know, one reason could be that they want the option to update the manuals, because for Virtual Console, there's no reason you would need to. Those games have been out for 10 or 20 years.
Tested, yeah.
So they... Right. There's nothing that they need to add. But it's possible in WiiWare, especially because it's digital distribution, they might send the game in for approval, you know, the day it finishes, and you might be downloading it a week later. So there's not a whole lot of time for them to establish certain things about the game. They may find that the instruction manual doesn't include enough explanation of certain things or whatever, and so they may want to update that without forcing you to re-download the entire package.
Well, I want to make a counter to that, because there's no way in hell the Choiniki instruction guide could ever explain everything that needs to be explained.
Well, yeah, but they're not even going to try.
It's just not possible.
That
you've actually given me another reason to cave and download that now.
just to read the guide.
How the hell do we? Because we've already seen the sales pitch was pretty, you know, cracking stuff, wasn't it? So
is the sales pitch any different on the Wii Shop channel?
That was off the Wii Shop channel. That was directly from it. It wasn't a press release or anything. That was actually what's on the Wii Shop channel.
All right. Well, so I guess the only other things I can say about Dr. Mario are that. The online play works fine. The worldwide is very quick to connect. It finds someone very quickly. And it's Mario Kart-esque in that you can see the other person's Mii and their screen name. Mm. So it's not like Smash Brothers where they're 100% anonymous.
Yeah.
So you get to see BJ.
I was racing online with Mario Kart this week, and there was actually a considerably more offensive Mii. I don't even think I'm comfortable saying what it was on the show.
I believe you have to now.
If it's too bad, I'll just bleep it out.
Let me just say this now. I would prefer you bleep it, really, honestly. It's the kind of
thing. Oh, okay.
Okay, it was face. And, you know, it's just...
That was the name?
Yes. So I was racing like 6 or 7 races with this guy called face racing around. And it's just like...
Did he have a normal-looking Mii, or was the Mii like
certain artistic license taken. But the thing is, it's a serious point here, in terms of if you're going to allow that to happen, what is the sodding point of all these ludicrous restrictions when you're just letting that go? But yeah, the barn door's open. It's over.
Right.
If somebody ever gets NOA Reggie into a match with face... Their house is going to be destroyed.
Oh, God. I mean, that's really funny, but the person having that name is not going to ruin any childhood.
No.
You know, it's not going to hurt anybody.
It might have ruined my adulthood.
But realistically, in a lot of these games, really, you know, a lot of games like Mario Strikers Charged and stuff that literally has no element of anything in it at all. And it's like, well, how could it be worse than that if it did? You know, it's like, that seems to be like pretty much the ceiling, apart from voice chat. So, you know, it just the point. If you can get that in anonymous matches, what really is the point of the friend codes anyway? Why is stuff that's not voice chat locked behind this numerical, you know, security door when anonymous stuff, you're just getting that anyway? I mean, how much worse would it be? It highlights the sheer redundancy of the whole thing.
Well, yeah. From Nintendo's point of view, if you had, say, textual chat with random people, that allows for exchange of personal information, whereas your screen name and your Mii does not.
But
Unless your screen name happens to be your address, because you're an idiot.
There'd be that, and they advise you against that in the manual, so they're covered. But what I mean is just the need for a numerical friend code. Yeah, you know, it seems to me like if you have this numerical friend code, because that in itself is some layer of security. Whereas it would seem, well, why not just have something far simpler? Because just for your basic online that doesn't have communication, or just...
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, just do it like an Xbox Live, where why not just trade your screen name.
Yeah, because if it's because at the end of the day, if you can, you know, there's no friend code involved, and I'm still seeing BJ and all the rest of it. So it just seems to me like for stuff, not for everything, you know, if they're going to do games in the future that has in-depth text chat or voice chat, put the friend code in, it's justified. But for stuff like, you know, if you're going to have that in, especially because even with friends, the Mario Kart text chat is predetermined phrases. It's not actually your typing.
Right.
There any justification for a complicated friend code in Mario Kart at all? There isn't.
Because,
I even have
the friend codes of some forum members, and I wouldn't want to see what they have to say, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, I have not entered a single numerical friend code in Mario Kart Wii.
I think it's there, but
I haven't had to use it. And that, to tie back into Dr. Mario, that's one of the problems, is that it's not as advanced as Mario Kart Wii. You do have to actually write down friend codes and type them in if you want to play with your friends. And first of all, that's still a problem. I'm still allowed to bitch about it, even though it's kind of expected. And number two, why would you go through the trouble to play fucking Dr. Mario online? It's not worth it. You know, like, who wants to do that?
Who wants to play Mario Kart online?
Dr.
Mario online?
Yeah.
There's too many Mario games online now.
No. I mean, Dr. Mario, the point is, it's not the
lend itself, most obviously, to online play, especially because it's not like four player. So I guess
here's the thing, and I posted this on Gaff today in relation to like Fishing Master 2, some Wii game coming out of Japan from Hudson, and the first Fishing Master was like abysmal, and this person started a thread that said Fishing Master 2 for Wii will be online. And that was the gist of the threat.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, who cares? Adding online does not automatically make a game superior to previous versions. And that's the entire premise of Dr. Mario Online RX. It's in the name. They think by making the game online, they can charge you $10 for a game that you probably already own in two or three different versions. And honestly, the addition of Virus Buster is much more of a big deal and a worthy feature to be promoting than the online play, which is practically meaningless, in my opinion.
It's curious, actually, because in Japan, and over here, they actually mention the Virus Buster, although it's called Germ Buster here, and like Bacteria Destroyer or something in Japanese. But they mention it in the name. They mention in the name of the game is Dr. Mario and... Virus Buster, essentially.
Right.
So that's weird that in America they don't, because it's just Dr. Mario Online RX. That's it, right?
Okay, because I have one point to make about these online.
Go ahead.
I think they made Dr. Mario Online so Nintendo could practice making online games. And I think the fishing game needs to be online.
Yeah, it's their very first one. I mean, give them some slack, right?
The fishing game needs to be online, because really, haven't we all heard big fish stories? Now you can prove your virtual fish was 17 and a half inches.
Oh, God. Shut the fuck up, James. No. No, I'm just saying, like...
Such hate.
I don't have a problem with adding online to something, but I'm not going to be like, oh, this gets a 9.
Yeah.
You know, because finally I can play Dr. Mario online.
It seems to be trying to very weakly signal. It's like, oh, we put effort into this. You know, this is,
right.
This is, you know, smarter
this is
than
new.
Your average
this
bear
is not just a
sort
port.
Of game. You know? And it's really... You know, just because you put some perfunctory, so you can put the solid crappy blue logo, or God forbid, even the red one on the box. It's terrible.
Pay to play fishing.
Don't rule it out. It'll happen. Microtransactions.
That's 3 Wii points.
This goes back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago with you know, when I was saying that Mario Kart Wii, although it works beautifully online, it's just not a game that I think is made drastically better by being an online experience. And Dr. Mario is that to the extreme. Because honestly, playing versus Dr. Mario is not really any different than playing by yourself. It's not substantially different. And there's absolutely no no discernible difference between playing against the computer and playing against a person.
Yeah.
Well, so if you're playing against someone in the room, you can kind of smack talk, but you can't really watch what they're doing on the other screen because you're too busy with what you're doing on your side. So that there's not that much interaction even when you're together. And online, you can't even communicate. So what's the point? Yes, I can jump online and play a worldwide versus match in Dr. Mario Online. And it only takes me like 30 seconds more than if I played against the computer. But it's exactly the same. Like, there's no, that's 30 seconds of my life that I don't really get anything for, you know? There's just, it's not better than playing against the computer, so there's point.
You get bragging rights against an anonymous stranger you can't talk to.
Yeah, and to make all this worse, I mean, I just to wrap up on Dr. Mario, and it's good for me to work all this out because I'm probably going to write the review tonight after we finish recording.
Oh, nice.
The Dr. Mario part of the game looks exactly like, say, Dr. Mario 64.
Sweet.
I mean, it's just updated whatsoever. I mean, there's your little Mii is in the middle, on the side of the play field, and he's doing his little actions. But like the actual game looks exactly the same. It plays exactly the same. The music is exactly the same. It's really annoying music. And there's only 4 tracks in the game, and they're all like 60-second loops.
So you're saying this is really just an updated Virtual Console release?
Exactly. It's like a barely augmented Virtual Console release for $10 for a game that should be $5 on Virtual Console, because the NES version is just as good as this. But then the other side of that, and the reason that I say maybe you should consider downloading it, is that Virus Buster is really good. And if you don't already have Brain Age 2, I think Virus Buster is like the cool way to play Dr. Mario, because it's still Dr. Mario, but it's so much different. It's so much more hectic. The cool thing about it is it doesn't wait for you to place your pieces before it feeds you the next piece. So, like, if you're slow about putting their pieces where you want to, all of a sudden you'll have like 6 more pieces floating down that you have to. So, like, basically it's really well balanced because you can place the pieces much faster and more precisely than you can in Dr. Mario, but they throw the pieces at you so quickly that you actually have to juggle multiple pieces at the same time. And if you find that it's too much for you, you can get a couple people to help you, because it's just, like I said, it's just naturally integrated for co-op play. The bad part is, the best part of this package, Virus Buster, is not actually online.
Yeah.
So the best part of Dr. Mario Online RX is not online.
He's got a prescription for online.
I mean,
it's a sour
maybe
pill.
It would have been hard to sync up, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's a lag issue, but I'm so disappointed by that, because, I mean, it's fun to play by yourself, but this actually I would like to play with other people, because it's not versus mode where my only interaction is every now and then I get a couple of junk pieces falling down. This is actually, you cooperate. It would be nice if you could communicate and talk to each other and say, I'll take this piece, or I'll cover this half of the field. I mean, this is actually like you're actually working together and playing the game together, you know, and it's not
online.
Well,
maybe that's why it isn't online, is because you couldn't do communication. But,
isn't that funny? Like, the stuff that we would actually like to do online, Nintendo can't pull it off.
Well, that's why they need the online practice. I mean, you scoffed at my theory, but maybe that's it.
No, I'm scoffing because this is like their 20th online game. What do you mean they need the practice?
They clearly do need the practice.
This isn't even pushing the boundaries like Mario Kart Wii does. You know, Mario Kart Wii, I wholeheartedly approve of everything it does online, even if I don't really care to play it online, because it's good practice for them, because it shows progress. Mm. Dr. Mario is actually like a step back from that.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, there we go.
Yeah, anyway, I've talked too much about a very stupid $10 game,
money well spent.
Indeed. Let's see, yesterday I started a new file on Metroid Zero Mission I've played through it like 5 times, one more can't hurt, you know.
Well, I mentioned this on Radio
Trivia. Honestly, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Radio Trivia not so long ago when I had my, you know, 100% hard mode speed run all wiped off. I lost everything, so I've been playing through it again very slowly and very depressed at the thought of trying to reclaim all of that. But it's a fantastic game. It's well worth playing through again.
I don't understand this this concept of like keeping your save files when you've already completed the game? Like, is this something you bring out when people come over and show off to them? The point is that
you get all the bonuses from that. It's not the save file. Like, you can, if you like save over the file you had, you had like all these like ending arts and the sound test and the hard mode and stuff.
Yeah, but were you using that stuff?
Well, it's the symbol of the accomplishment that I did it. It's there.
It's nice, but you know you did it. It's like, look, I mean, you know for a fact that you have done this before.
But nobody else does.
So now it's like you're re-proving to yourself that you did it.
Well, no, it's mostly because... No, actually, the main reason is because if the hard mode, which is how I prefer to play it, is not available from the beginning. So if I want to play through it the way I want to play through it, I have to play through it on normal first now, whereas before I could have just started with hard and gone from there. Because it is very easy, normally.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it's such a short game. I mean, you can play through it in three or four hours,
exactly.
So
yeah.
It doesn't take that
much time if you really want to play through it on the easier one. It's wonderful.
It is. I think part of the reason I like it is because it's so easy, and I've played through it on hard as well.
Even then, it's not that difficult by any stretch.
No, exactly. I mean, the game just in general is very easy for me, and part of it's my familiarity with the level design and the controls and the type of gameplay that it is. But to me, it's almost like a stroll through the park, you know?
I'm not being silly.
I'm saying, like, literally, you go through the park not because it's a challenging hike, but because it's pleasant,
yeah,
you know?
And it plays so
like
well.
The actual exercise of it is not the reason that you do it. You go through it because it's an enjoyable, aesthetically pleasing experience. And that's what playing Zero Mission's like for me. I do it because it's easy, almost.
Mm, yeah, I think that's fair. And it's a pleasure to play because it's so fluid and it's so quick.
Oh,
compared
yeah.
Compared to Fusion or Super Metroid, it blisters along. That's what I really like about it. When you do know the levels, you know where you're going, you never feel like you're encumbered by the control scheme or anything. Like, it's just so right there, perfect, responsive and fluid that it is a joy to play through no matter how many times you've done it.
Yeah. Cool. Alright, so one other thing I've played, and this is going to be quick, but my friend Kevin just moved to California, and he apparently, when he was cleaning out his apartment, he found this case with Myst and Riven and Exile, which is Myst 3. It was like all packaged together, like a compilation thing that Ubisoft did a few years ago. And he's like, hey, I thought you might like this. So I installed Myst last night and for the PC and played it for like an hour. And it was funny how quickly the time melted away as I went through there. I didn't expect to play through the whole game. Actually, I have already uninstalled it. I just wanted to get the nostalgic feeling and remember kind of what it was like. And sort of, I knew I was going to destroy my childhood memories of playing this, and it did. It's so bad. Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, there are some interesting things as far as the layout of the island and everything, and the puzzles, some of the puzzles are really hard. Like, even if you have the clue, the key from rotating the tower or whatever, it's still very tricky to open up some of the levels. And
right.
But, like, the video, the acting, the audio is all, like, really crappy.
I told you the acting was bad.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I mean, it's not like Target Terror 3DO game kind of bad.
What is Target Terror bad? I mean, really.
Right. Yeah, it's Trailblazer.
It's not good either. So, anyway, yeah, the game, it really... really doesn't hold up all that well.
No, it doesn't.
But I'm going to install Riven maybe in the next day or two, because I think I kind of want to see the advancement they made. Like, how much better does it look? How much smoother does it flow? That kind of thing. So I'm kind of curious to see whether there was any technology advance at all, because I can't remember.
I think there was a little, but I seem to recall the bigger jump being between 2 and 3.
Right, yeah, 3 is the one I'm really interested in because I've never played it. And I have played through Myst and Riven both a long time ago. So three, may not get to it this week, but at some point I am going to pop in three and really give it a go and see if I can play through it. So that'll be interesting. I'll let you guys know about that. And any day now, this week, I'm getting a copy of Trauma Center Under the Knife 2 for DS.
Ooh.
So I'm very excited about that. Got quite an early copy. Well, actually, not that early, now that I think about it. I don't know. I can't even remember what the release date is. Maybe it is really early. It seems really early, but maybe it's coming out beginning of July.
We shall see.
In that case, I'm getting it like a month early, so that's great. But anyway, yeah, so maybe I can talk about that. I'll have to check with PR and see what I can and cannot divulge, because it is, you know, it's a ways out, so they're sensitive to that kind of thing. But I will let you guys know whatever I can about it. So with that, I think we can wrap up this segment. So we'll take a break, and we'll be back with some news coming up right after this. All right. All right, we're back for some news and some downloadable content updating, and you might have noticed my voice is getting a little froggy. I do have sort of a cold, and I'm trying to fight through and trying not to let it affect my performance. But luckily, we've got someone to help us out with this segment. I actually, you know, when the show first started, I had trouble finding a sub for John, but actually, we finally got one now. So, in the second segment, substituting for John Lindemann is Mr.
Hi,
John
my name's
Lindemann.
Juan. My name's Juan.
Juan.
Yep, Juan. I just came in from Puerto Rico. Pretty
Here
nice.
Comes the sub. Voice action.
You know, the Clintons might send you back.
Yeah, I know, man. No. Oh,
they're trying
that.
To bring him over so they can right. actually vote in the general. Because he can't do it from there.
No, I don't think they can actually deport you to Puerto Rico because it's technically part of America.
Yeah. But it's a common
trying
it's
not to
a
real state, them into
and they don't
state,
count.
So that somehow they can vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What up, Puerto Rico?
Okay, so before we get into the news, I want to catch up on a couple of weeks of Virtual Console and WiiWare stuff. We're not going to talk about all these games, but I just wanted to kind of list them off, and if we have any brief comments among the four of us now, we can do that. So for WiiWare, since the last time we mentioned WiiWare, I think we've gotten Critter Roundup.
Comment.
Okay.
I was uploading screenshots for that game when we first got our first press material, and I was speaking with our news editor, Carmine Red, and I asked him, what is that man doing to that goat? To which he responded, it was a woman and a dog.
Yeah, it looks like a DS game, in my opinion.
It looks
like the graphics
DS
are so
game.
Bad. Yeah, or it looks like the worst Dreamcast game ever. I don't know, it just has that kind of visual quality or lack thereof. It looks really bad, even for a WiiWare game. I don't know, there's just something very unappealing to me about
it's
the
hideous.
Way this game
that,
looks.
That's what's unappealing about it. It's hideous.
Yeah, like I think it could be fun, but I'm not going to spend $10 to $9 or whatever to find out.
Well,
because
all reviews
just
indicate that it is, in fact, not fun.
Oh,
well,
okay.
What a surprise.
I think Kohler liked it from the Japan.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you did have some affection for it.
All right. We've also got Star Soldier R, which Wendy certainly approves of. Although I understand that it's a pure score attack game,
2 and 5 minute modes, which apparently
a 5 minute long game I cannot justify spending on, even though I may realize its place in the industry or whatever.
This may be more of a sore point for the fact that I believe at least some of the Star Soldier games on Virtual Console actually have 2 and 5 minute score attack modes in them. So you could get
they're besides a real game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a sub mode of a Star Soldier game. I mean, I'm sure you could still get. I mean, because people would have said similar things about Yoshi Touch and Go to an extent, and I got a load of use out of that. An absolute load. So it's possible if you really get into something, a score attack challenge, that even something that superficially, even not superficially, doesn't have a lot of content, you can get more use out of it. But the limitations are obvious, and everyone should understand that.
Now, how many points is it?
Points 800, I believe.
That's brutal because, I mean, I just think, you know, if, I mean, as a 360 owner, I go over on Xbox Live and there's, for probably the same price, about $10, you can get Ikaruga.
You could get Symphony of the Night.
Ikaruga, which is like the best shooter ever.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Right.
And you can play it co-op over Xbox Live, FYI.
Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Right. I paid $50 for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can do Ikaruga online, but we can't have Virus Buster on.
Yeah, I don't get started on that one.
No, but it's just like...
What was that?
Star Soldier R just reeks to me of a game that they intended to make a full game out of it, but they couldn't finish it in time, and they wanted it to be a launch title for WiiWare. So they just, like, chopped it off. They just said, okay, well, this is how much we've got done. We could only finish the first two levels, so we'll just smash them together and make it a score attack.
And also,
game.
It just reeks, of they knew they could get away with it.
You know? Yeah. I mean, for if this were $3, I would buy it. But $8, it just doesn't appeal to me.
The direct comparison
price.
With this, because the Star Soldier games would be 600 points because they're on TurboGrafx, right? So there again, the comparison is rather unfavorable.
Oh, heck, you could buy Lords of Thunder; it's way better.
Now we're talking.
Sorry.
And that's 800.
Actually, I'm not even sorry.
Yeah. All right.
No. Why would you be?
Anyway, Steven likes it. And I understand why Steven likes it, because I know what kind of gamer Steven is. And let me assure 99% of our listenership, you are not the kind of gamer that Steven is.
I'd also like to point out that if you're in Europe, you can get Chouaniki instead of it.
Yeah, that's
right. You should.
All right, so continuing with the list, Dr. Mario Online RX, I've already talked about that way too much. Family Table Tennis... This is actually comparatively good value. It's 500 points for, like, some pretty hot shit.
Yeah, I've heard it's actually relatively fun. It's kind of similar in a way to Wii Sports Tennis.
Right, yeah, it has a really nice presentation. Apparently the controls and the gameplay work really well. Like, you can play with your Mii, and the graphics are really nice, and it's $5.
Yeah.
So, like, I think a lot of these WiiWare games are... interesting but overpriced, and this one actually seems a little underpriced. It seems like a really good deal.
Now, but you can't play online, can you? Because that seems like a logical...
I don't think you can.
No, you cannot.
But, again, who cares?
I don't know.
How can playing another person online be that much different than playing against the computer? It's ping pong.
They don't have to be beside you. That's the whole point. It's cool to play against somebody beside you, but it's also cool to have the option to play against somebody, like, in another town.
Yo... Or you could just play against the computer and they could tell you that you're playing against someone in another
town. That's never happened.
You probably wouldn't know the difference. Okay, John, you missed that conversation earlier. And I don't want to reopen it.
We went
it
off
now,
the bridge on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so this week we're getting, for WiiWare, Tokitori. This is like a puzzle game. It has gotten some really nice reviews. It's $10, but it looks, I mean, it's interesting looking. And I watched the trailer on the Nintendo channel today, actually, and it promises dozens of hours of gameplay. If that's true,
there are like 50
then $10
levels.
Is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a remake of a Game Boy Color game, or at least it's heavily based on a Game Boy Color game of the same name. But weirdly enough, in Europe, it's 900 points. I don't understand that at all.
It's an import fee. We're paying an import fee for
customs,
Europe,
man.
Why aren't we paying them for everything else, though? If that were the case,
is the devaluation of the dollar so bad that we're actually paying more Wii points than you guys now? Like, it's a
sad state of
it's
affairs.
Creeped into fake denominations
very
money.
Odd,
what do you mean you're not paying more? Haven't you seen comparisons of all the prices for games in Europe versus in the US?
Yeah,
most
of them
pay way
more. Yeah, exactly.
Except on Tokitori. But yeah, Tokitori, actually, I'm interested in that. I'm going to wait for a couple more reviews in America from, like, reviewers that I'm more familiar with. But I know in our forums, in the very infrequently utilized reader review section of our forums, one of our forum members wrote a pretty lengthy and interesting review of Tokitori. I presume that this person is in Europe. So there you go. Your fellow listeners approve of it, so maybe it's good. And we also have Protothea, or Protothea from Ubisoft, and that is apparently some kind of remake of a PC shooter.
Yeah, I think
from
it's
a
PC
shooter,
and what they've done is they've done IR shooting controls for, you know, it's pretty basic shooter apparently, but yeah, with IR controls put in.
I watched another video of this also on the Nintendo channel, and I thought it looked really slow and boring.
Yeah, I think the initial feedback's not great for this. It's not a very interesting shooter, and obviously with the Virtual Console and what was that, Castle of Shikigami 3 that just came out as a disc-based game, that's relatively more expensive, but there are better shooter alternatives. Or Ikaruga on Xbox Live, do it.
Or Ikaruga on GameCube, if you can find it. Plays on your Wii. I can't use mine because it's a Japanese copy, so...
Oh.
Yeah, it's too bad. Anyway, so that's catching us up on WiiWare, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe next week I can talk about Tokitori if I can be convinced to download that, and... James, what were you going to finish up with?
Oh, I was going to ask, why are you all tempting me to go off on Ubisoft so early?
Oh, yeah, no, it's just save some, Augusta, save some for later. Okay, on the Virtual Console side, it has been shitty.
Oh, yes.
In
wow,
North America. I hope things have been better in Europe.
There's
I
been a few things.
Samurai
Showdown that we mentioned not so long ago has arrived in Europe. So
far better than anything we've gotten, actually.
Give me that game right now.
So yeah, then this was after
Greg
all the
tried gifting it to us.
and we caught up on some of the stuff that we missed during the import stuff, so like Pokemon Puzzle League and things like that. But and there was another another Neo Geo brawler called Burning Fight. I was surprised to find out that in America you got a different Neo Geo brawler, Ninja Combat, a few days apart.
Yes.
That, I thought they'd be the same one, but they're not. I don't think they're the same one with different names. I suppose that is possible.
Neo Geo games have some oddly descriptive titles.
Yeah, I know.
Ninja Fight. I wonder what or Ninja Combat. Yeah. I wonder what this game's about.
Extremely descriptive. Shooting ship.
Well, all right, so... in North America, at least, our Virtual Console, since the last time we reported on this, has consisted of Sky Kid for NES, bad reviews on that one, City Connection for NES, also pretty terrible comments, Metal Slug, which, although a fine-ass game for Neo Geo,
fantastic game.
Is pretty damn redundant with the Metal Slug
Anthology.
Collection. Yeah. Yeah, that was a launch game for WiiWare, not to mention the upcoming SNK Arcade Classics Volume 1 for Wii, which also includes Metal Slug.
You'll be able to play Metal Slug on your Wii four different ways.
Indeed.
Once again, proof positive that Nintendo just pretty much puts a bunch of names of games up on a dartboard and just tosses a dart to decide what they put on the Virtual Console. It's
Metal Slug!
Yeah, I mean, like, really, instead of releasing Earthbound, you know, which they certainly could have done quite easily... This week, they released Metal Slug, a game that has been out on Wii since the day it was released.
By the way,
I mean, what the hell?
I think Metal Slug Anthology right now might retail for the same price as Metal Slug on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise
me. Oh, yeah, you can probably find it in the bargain bin.
Yeah.
So there you go. Metal Slug, a great game, a little hard to recommend for Virtual Console unless you... have never played a Metal Slug game and you just want to try out one at a time. I don't know, but like James says, you can probably get it for $9 or $10 on disc.
Yeah, the only way you can
like
recommend this
others.
Is if their disc drive is broken on their Wii. I mean, that's it. That's the only way this game can be recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, and then as we mentioned before, Ninja Combat, some kind of brawler, also for Neo Geo. Some kind of resurgence of Neo Geo.
Yes, they're back.
The return of the Neo Geo.
Sort of, they tested.
Yes,
they put their toe in the water. They put their toe
want.
In the water with like Magician Lord and stuff a bit ago, and then decided,
so
no,
another one.
We'll just come back with the really fucking obvious stuff later.
Magician Lord. What is with the Neo
Magician Lord is not a descriptive title. If they wanted to describe that game with a title, they would have called it ass shooting. Shit. Okay.
But still, it still follows the same title format.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they weren't very creative.
No more than two words. No more than two words. People get confused.
Yeah, this was before people...
Now,
this was before the epiphany have of in the middle of two words, which is currently predominant.
Yes.
Oh, I know what I would call
blank
it.
Of blank.
Hit detection. You know how people complain about the hitbox in shoot 'em ups being too big, you know, or something?
Yeah.
Okay, the hitbox in Magician Lord is like half the screen. and the guy moves at a snail's pace, and enemies literally launch out of nowhere faster than you can dodge them. Oh. It's full of like these like totally impossible to dodge enemies that you just have to memorize their locations. It's fucking bullshit. Don't ever play Magician Lord.
And it's so funny too because I wanted that game so bad back in the day, but now I can only imagine its crappiness.
You should download it just so you know how bad it
is. Wait, John, did you have a Neo Geo?
No, I didn't, but I really wanted one bad.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was kind of...
You wanted one for Magician Lord.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, because that was the huge game at the launch of Neo Geo. That was the huge game. Everybody was like, the graphics are mind-blowing.
Dude,
it's an amazing platformer. And I was like, I have to get that.
Dude, that's like... It's like the Night Trap for Sega CD. You know? It's like a game that people used to think was really cool.
Did anyone ever think that was cool? I have a hard time.
No one ever thought.
Night Trap?
Dana Plato's agent thought it was
cool. God, it's...
No, I mean...
Unfathomable.
Oh, anyway,
sorry. Dare not darken our halls with Night Trap again.
Two words. Yeah. Dana Plato, right? She was in Night Trap.
Yeah. So I just want to say before we kind of get off this topic, because I did watch videos of a lot of these WiiWare games on Nintendo Channel today, and it's become a ritual for me every Monday afternoon before the podcast. I go to the Nintendo Channel because that's when they upload all the new videos, and I watch all these videos, and I'm seeing some alarming trends. Okay, it seems like every single week they have a new video of some female celebrity playing a video game.
Yes, I've seen this.
Playing her DS and talking. Excuse me, and talking about it, and they also are releasing the most esoteric shit. Like this week, there's a video of how they manufacture the balance board for Wii Fit.
Fantastic,
compelling.
It's like okay, and the funny thing is they're talking about like how strain gauges work. It's like hardcore engineering stuff. Like who would want to watch this?
I guess they're
other
just
than
taking
me?
The lead
well,
from like
I
DVD special
Thanks.
Features, you know, sort of like how they fabricated this thing for like, you know, on the Batmobile or something. You know, it's that kind of minutiae kind of thing.
They've also got me watching videos of things that I would never, ever, ever buy, and things that I don't really care about, but I want to see it just because. I don't know. It's just, it's fun to watch videos on the Wii, you know?
Yeah, it's different. Yeah,
today, I watched a video of High School Musical making the cut for DS.
Good. Wow.
And
how many videos have they got
review?
On there? Because, like, they just launched
thousands. No, that, but
and
the
there's
thing,
hardly anything.
It's got, like, 50 videos on it. And the weird thing is that game, that High School Musical game, came out, like, last summer.
Yeah.
Like, a year ago. Because it actually talks about the upcoming High School Musical 2 coming out this August, and it really means August 2007.
It's never too late.
So,
it's
like,
never too
why
late.
Is that a new video on the Nintendo channel?
Because it was newly uploaded.
Did they run out of real new videos? Like,
probably because
what's the deal?
Probably because they went to third-party publishers and said, send us what you got, and they didn't even...
I think you're exactly right.
And they didn't
right.
even watch
yeah.
it. They're like, well, we'll just put up whatever they send us.
Mm-hmm. They've got some forthcoming stuff, gladly. I'm glad to see they've got video of Bangayo Spirits. Because people
I'm
need
sure
to
we'll
know
find
about
like,
that.
Like
oh, dude.
Star Wars kid video up there.
I watched that one too.
Yeah, people need to know about that. It's coming out in August, everybody.
Yeah, Bangayo Spirits looks awesome. So yeah, you should watch that one too. But yeah, I was just gonna say the Nintendo Channel. I actually really like it. It's very slick. I have had some perverse pleasure from watching the videos of the female soccer players playing Wii Fit. And
oh boy. Too much
and,
information cast.
No, I actually really like the DS downloads too. I downloaded a demo of Worms 2 Advanced Warfare.
I think this could be an opportune moment for me to mention just how pedestrian and awful the demo list is in Europe and Australia, where it launched over the weekend. It's all first party games for a start, and it's and they're mostly
nice.
Really quite old. One of them is Mario Kart DS.
Wait. Did you scroll down?
No, this is all of them. There's seven. And I think in some of the countries, because of language issues, they haven't even got all of them. But we're talking Mario Kart DS, Brain Training, Maths Training, Sight Training, Picross.
Sight Training?
Yes. Flash Focus, called site training, because the word training is apparently much more of a marketing pull here. All first party, mostly quite old. I mean, you know, not like stuff like Ninja Gaiden or any of the cool stuff that you guys got.
Hey, I just got an idea. Nintendo of Europe should sell a game called Wii Training.
Yes, do it. Everything.
Actually, isn't that...
It would sell 3 million copies, and it would be, all it would have to do is, like, mini games that teach you how to use
in,
the Wii.
Well, in retrospect, they would have called Wii Play that. Yeah, they would have done, if they had the idea.
Yeah. True. That's true, but I don't know.
Well, you know, Wii Play was called, like, Introduction to Wii in Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
It?
Hey, Hajime Tenno Wii or whatever.
Yeah, so really, they did call it Wii Training, essentially, in Japan.
Yeah, they should have done it here, too. They rectified that with Link's Crossbow Training.
Yes.
Right. They should have called that Wii Crossbow Training.
Speaking
it would have
which,
done much better.
I'm not sure if we've talked about the interview.
No, the Terminator stuff.
About that. India Wada asks. Yes, he wanted... the original idea for this game was they were going to have a gun appear out of a Terminator-style wormhole in time, and Link was going to pick it up, which I declared is the dumbest idea I have ever heard in my entire life.
Incredible.
No, it would have been amazing. Can you imagine Link capping the asses? Yeah.
Yes, I can, and that's why
he'd be mowing down some fools. Oh, my God. You know what? They should have also warped in, like, a Humvee so he could do some drive-by murder on their asses.
That's why it's a bad idea.
Dude, he would have fucked up those Moblins.
I don't need no Ponya no more, bitch.
Break yourself, fool.
Oh, my God.
Baka, baka, baka.
Don't you ever smoke the endo.
Oh, man.
Good grief.
Would have been amazing.
This episode 100 and then 101, we just tanked.
Finno bust the cap in
tanked.
The ass.
This is one of my favorites so far. So, yeah, the only problem I have with the Nintendo channel is that it's really not at all clear how you get to the DS demos.
No, it's not.
And, it's like you click on find titles for you, and then you see it at the bottom of the list.
Why is it not an option?
How are we supposed to know? Like, I think if you just randomly install the Nintendo channel, you might not even realize that you can download DS demos.
Nope.
And it's such a cool feature. And then I was thinking, you know, Pale just wrote this blog about trying to do a drive-by download of some Pokemon because he didn't want to go in the store and deal with the crowd.
And his fiance didn't want him to go in there out of embarrassment, I believe.
No, I didn't want him to go in there. As I was reading it, I was like, don't go in there, please don't. I'm glad he said he just went in the entrance and got it and walked and turned around and went back. He never actually stepped foot in the store. But what it made me think of is, you know, they could easily do Pokemon downloads through the DS download station in Nintendo Channel.
But I don't think they want to.
It's ideal for that.
I think they're, part of the hype is the event.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is, in principle, they could deliver downloadable content, or in Pokemon's case, I think it's more of an unlock key.
Yeah,
the mystery
where
gift
it's
system.
Basically generating the statistics as it unlocks it, and it you know, that's what you're not really trading data.
No,
exactly. You're trading like your name and a couple of statistics when you trade Pokemon with the other person. But the Pokemon already exists, even if they have the red version and you have the blue version.
Right, they're already
they have all 151 Pokemon on their system. They just can't get to them without you.
Right,
and that's what's happening with these super ultra rare things like Mew and Darkrai or Dracrai or whatever it was. But
Darkrai, yes.
They could easily do that kind of feature through the Nintendo channel. And if you think about it, if they really want... Because obviously Nintendo channel is like a marketing tool,
right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of like what I thought Everybody Votes was going to be in some ways in terms of the feedback part. Everybody Votes is just bizarrely pointless. Whereas this is the marketing.
Well, but the feedback part in Nintendo Channel is really lame because you don't get any feedback to your feedback. Like, you can't see what other people said about it, and you can't really add any kind of personal touches to it. It's just, you know, this or that. It's all very binary type voting.
Well, I gotta say,
I think it would be interesting if you could, like, vote for a game that you really like, and then they show the results of other people who commented on it, and they all hated it, you know, or something. That would be interesting. But you know, it seems like they could massively increase the penetration of the Nintendo channel and get people to download it if they promoted the fact that you can download, say, Manaphy or some ultra-rare Pokemon by going in there. You know, if they make the DS download function, like, obvious that you can get it if they improve the interface. Mm. They could get so many people using that channel by doing something like that.
Yeah.
And I maybe they will in the future, but so far the DS demos obviously better here than in Europe, because we do have some interesting third-party stuff that I'd never got to play before. But and some of the demos are better than others, like the Crosswords demo is really good. You can play that for an hour. Some of them are pretty awful, and they're not really worth even bothering with. But there's so much more that could be done with that, and I guess maybe in the future we'll see. Okay, so on to the news, and I just wanted to check in on this stuff and get some analysis from you guys. But I think one of the biggest things that's been announced in the past couple of weeks is Guitar Hero 4, or Guitar Hero World Tour, was finally unveiled. Of course, it's coming out on the Wii as well as everything else.
Right.
And, of course, they're adding drums and vocals along with the guitar tracks, so now it's basically Guitar Hero Rock Band Edition.
Right. Yes, because you got to keep up.
The new things that they're doing that kind of separate from Rock Band, you can compose... Well, from Rock Band 1. We haven't heard about Rock Band 2 yet, but I think it's going to match some of these features. But you can compose your own songs, although not with vocals, but you can compose them with guitar, bass, and drums. And that looks... We don't know much about it, but it could be very interesting. Every song is a master track. There are no cover songs in this one. And for the first time, the Wii version, and it's funny, the press release specifically mentioned this and called it out, the Wii version will have downloadable songs.
Yeah. I think now that some WiiWare titles have done it, they've shown it can be done, I guess they're probably more willing to do it.
You know, my feeling is they should delay Rock Band for Wii 2-3 months, however long it takes to implement this.
Or it should have.
Really. If Rock Band Wii came out the same day as Guitar Hero 4, I would probably buy Rock Band over Guitar Hero 4 for Wii. I mean, because they're basically the same thing, except Rock Band already has like a hundred songs you could download, and it's probably a little better because it's made by Harmonix and not Neversoft.
Well, you know, the Rock Band Wii was essentially just, oh my god, look what Guitar Hero 3 is doing on that platform. We have to get out now.
Just shift it out the door, the PS2 version practically, wasn't it? And then they're gonna...
I think they were just stunned.
It is the PS2, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were just stunned by what happened with Guitar Hero 3.
And the Wii,
the thing is,
I don't think they had any idea that the Wii was going to sell as big as it did.
Yeah. It's a dual element to it, that the Wii was going to do that, and then Guitar Hero 3 specifically for Wii on top of that, so they've just got to cash in. You know, there's too many people with Wii's out
the
there.
The worst version of Guitar Hero 3
I just,
sold the best. I mean,
I feel
insane.
Like, you know, I feel like they're going to release Rock Band on Wii in June. It's not going to do that well because it's June, and all these people already bought Guitar Hero 3 and they're not compatible with each other.
Which is stupid.
And it's $200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to look at the... I don't know. What I'm afraid is they're going to announce Rock Band 2 at E3. It's coming out this fall. And it could go either one of two ways. And both of these are bad, okay? They could release Rock Band 2 for the Wii the same time they release it on the other platforms. But then it's only coming out like 4 months after Rock Band 1 on the Wii. And it's not going to be very clear why we should buy both. Yeah. You know, because they're going to be essentially the same.
Do you really think the Rock Band 2 is going to come out this year?
It very well could, yeah.
I mean, on every version except for the Wii version, unless they add a lot of features, it's just going to be a track update.
Right, but I don't know, man. It's not that I think they need to make a Rock Band 2 this year. I just think there's so much money in it.
That
the corporate guys are going to be like, yes, you will make a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, look on the other side. I mean, Guitar Hero, they can't get enough SKUs out there fast enough. It's insane. I mean,
yeah. They're releasing 3 or 4 a year.
Obviously,
now
we've got Aerosmith
on
tour, the DS. We've got World Tour. We've got Metallica coming in the first quarter
next year.
Yeah, that
just got announced today.
I mean, they can't get them out fast enough. So, I mean, if they want to escalate this war, then maybe that is what's going to happen.
And we can.
I don't think they want to escalate it. I think Harmonix is going to be, arguing that they don't want to dilute it the way Activision is with Guitar Hero, but at the same time, there's so much money to be made. They have to release something at least once a year.
I think
they don't have to release four a year, but they have to release at least one a year.
I think we're going to end up with even more than four in a year's time frame out of Activision.
Yeah, I think they've said as much, haven't they? They've said it's going to be.
I think there's
going to
be at least one more band specific one in 09 that we haven't heard about yet. I mean,
yeah, the Metallica one probably is not coming out until 09.
Yeah, I would imagine
that's
we'll
what
get another
they've
band specific in like August
for,
of 09.
First quarter, I think 09 so far. That's the early window for it.
Yeah. By the way, Metallica is headlining Bonnaroo this year, and I'm going. That's in 2 weeks. I'm going to Bonnaroo. I will not be on the podcast that
good
week.
Good for you, Johnny.
I think. Wait. You know that might be a. Actually, I'm leaving on a Tuesday, so I will be able to record on Monday night. But the next Monday, I probably won't, because I'll just be getting back that day. But when Metallica plays at Bonnaroo, I'm going to be in my tent taking a nap.
Good actually, luck. It's I'm
totally
of Metallica
disinterested
and
in
Guitar
that
Hero. Activision has unveiled the Guitar Hero Aerosmith. Blah 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 blah. No sooner had the publisher announced the deal. People thought it was going to be Van Halen, but it looks like the next Guitar Hero game would be Metallica.
Yes, that's what we were talking about.
And presumably this will be based on World Tour, so it'll include the drums and the vocals and everything.
Yeah.
So if you really feel like, if you feel like blowing your voice out so that you sound like I do right now, then look forward to Guitar Hero Metallica
in 2009. One thing I want to say about Guitar Hero Aerosmith Edition, because we had our Do Not Disclose thing go up today. Steven put out a bunch of impressions on the site at the event he attended for both the DS game and the Guitar Hero Aerosmith Edition. It's not a PS2 port, thank God. It's a complete rebuild of the engine for the Wii, so that's probably the engine we'll get in the next main Guitar Hero series too, except it'll have the new instruments.
Right.
So
yeah, this it sounds like it's actually going to be a legitimate increment between Guitar Hero 3 and World Tour, whereas on the other systems it's literally going to be Guitar Hero 3 with different songs.
Yeah, so I think that kind of proves that they're taking the Wii very seriously this time in lieu of what happened in the sales.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah, I mean that was
they have to. They need to make sure the Wii version is the best version.
Yeah, it's
well, it depends on your point of view though. On the one hand, it could be said that they've shown that it doesn't have to be that good and they'll sell a lot on it, so
yeah.
That can kind of go either way.
No, honestly, the Wii version of Guitar Hero 3 is a lot of people consider it to be the best version.
But what about the DLC?
I mean, certainly that wasn't their intention,
but it
just turned out that way.
In terms of, you know, it's interesting that they are actually making that jump with World Tour, that there will be DLC, even though they were so successful with it without DLC.
Well, think about it. DLC, it's not just so much a selling point as it is.
It's a money making. It's a money making strategy.
Yeah, you want DLC in there.
It generates revenue. But the question is just
not that much for Activision though, because the DLC for Guitar Hero 3 has not been a very big deal. They've released very few songs, and I don't think they're selling very well. Because
I mean, it's interesting. They sort of whatever hoops they've had to jump through, and we don't really know what they are to actually get DLC
Ritual.
That they've done this, even though maybe it's not the biggest deal, and of course it did sell fine without it last time. So I guess it's somewhat encouraging that they're at least taking the success as impetus rather than discouragement to do things better.
Well, you know. If I had to guess, I would say the downloadable stuff, as far as it being finally implemented this fall in World Tour on Wii, I would say that was probably pushed by the developer Vicarious Visions more than by Activision. Because I think you're right, Greg. Activision probably didn't care that much from a business standpoint. They're like, this is going to sell 3 million copies either way. But Vicarious Visions, if you look at their record with DS, especially what they've done with online stuff...
Yeah, they were the first third-party out of
the game.
They have
been so proactive. They have put online features into games, like, say, Tony Hawk's Downhill Racing or whatever it was called, Downhill Jam.
Yeah.
That game has online voice chat during gameplay. Nobody gives a fuck. Okay, the game's not good. Like, it's not really their fault that it's basically a downgraded port of the Wii version, which is ass also. So it was doomed from the start, but they put so much technical proficiency.
Yeah,
they're so interested in pushing the technology.
They were the first third-party developer to have an online game on the DS. It was a Tony Hawk game.
Exactly.
American Wasteland?
Can't remember what
it was. It might have been American Wasteland.
Yeah. And it was the first online third-party game, and it was the best online launch game.
I mean, that, I remember you could actually...
Oh, yeah.
You could put art on your skateboard and then upload it, I think, to a website so other people could download it. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. It had full website integration. Like, you could form clans on the website.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And
it's better than
most stuff that's come out since then.
That was years ago.
That's it. They just need to steal them away and make them like the technical
online team. Yeah, Nintendo should buy Vicarious Visions. That would be smart.
Just make them their online team. Just send them a game when it's almost done and say, make this online, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say about I really like Vicarious. I've met a couple of their higher up people and they're really nice. But what I like about them is that even though not all of their games turn out well. I mean, you know, they did like Marvel Ultimate Alliance on Wii, which I did not give a very good review, and it's not a good game. But they really try. I mean, even in that game, they were doing things with gestures that most other developers had not figured out yet.
Yeah.
And then they moved on from that to Guitar Hero 3 the next year, which was really good. Really, really good. So I'm very impressed by them. I've been a fan of theirs ever since they did Tony Hawk 2 on GBA.
Oh, yeah, that
was
actually
like
really
awesome.
Good.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were doing polygons on the GBA that worked, that looked good. So I'm a fan of these guys. I'm just always interested to see what they're going to do. So yeah,
Any movie tie-in game, if I hear it's done by them, I'm like, yeah, I'll check that out. Because I just know, regardless of
Some really hot portable Spider-Man games. And again, not all of them have been good. They've made a couple of pretty crappy ones.
That first
DS
one was really bad.
Oh, yeah. Really bad.
You got to run into walls.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the engine was amazing. The actual game design was lousy.
Yeah.
But they made one on the GBA, and I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head, but it is great. I reviewed it, so if you want to look it up, but they did a really sweet GBA Spider-Man game, so I'm always interested in what they're doing. Yeah.
Radio Free Vicarious Visions.
Indeed, there's Guitar Hero World Tour. I'm probably gonna pick this up honestly because I've already got one guitar on the Wii, and I haven't been inducted into the Rock Band cult yet, and so I'm still kind of excited about Guitar Hero.
Which is now not so aptly named.
Right. It's Guitar, parentheses, and other stuff, Hero. I'm pretty curious to see how it turns out. I'm pretty excited about this. And I do like that they're competing with Rock Band and that they're going to go tit for tat. I just wish that all the instruments were compatible.
Yeah.
Because then I wouldn't have a
see,
problem
buying
both.
I still think they needed to work that out. They should have just manned up and been like, well, we'll do it.
No, I know why they're not doing it. It's because they make a lot of money selling those instruments. And that's why they would prefer to sell you a new instrument every year with every new version of the game. That's why they keep adding little things to them like, oh, now this year it's wireless. You get to buy it again.
I mean,
they want to sell you more crap.
Yeah,
that's why they're not going to make it voluntarily compatible. Harmonix wants them to be compatible because they're, you know, more idealistic. They're not as concerned about the bottom line.
Oh, they're concerned about the bottom line. I mean,
there are other considerations
as well.
They
want
as
many people.
That's not
playing
the only thing
they
care
about. So.
Right,
exactly.
And they know that the Guitar Hero peripherals are already in more homes than theirs. Mm-hmm. Well, the ones they're making now, as opposed to the ones they're making, but they were making, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Next story, Wario Land Shake has been announced for Wii. This is a 2D hand-drawn platformer.
With some puzzle elements.
It's not...
What? Puzzle elements, from the looks of it.
Sorry, I can no longer speak at this point. My vocal cords are ravaged.
Yeah, okay. Well, the game, as a prospect, I find to be very exciting. I know TYP is probably just keeping himself under control barely at the prospect
of
a new 2D Wario game that's not a WarioWare game. Because he's been wishing for that for however long it's been.
Well, I mean, just because they call it Wario Land, doesn't mean it'll live up that series. This could be basically Wario Thief 2 or whatever, Wario Master in Disguise. Master of Disguise 2, except they knew that game wasn't well-received, so they changed the name back to Wario.
Well, I mean, it does look fairly traditional in terms of the sort of, it's you holding the Wii remote on its side, NES style, and the shake part, obviously, is just you will sort of do motion the controller every now and again to do sort of context-sensitive actions, like, you know, picking up objects or, you know, collecting coins and things like that. So it seems like it's not like doing crazy sort of stylus-esque gestures like, you know, Wario Thief.
Right.
It seems like it's quite traditional. Yeah. Well, obviously, the quality of the game's up in the air. But it's just interesting that, you know, a 2D, very old-school sort of 2D game like this is coming for this, because I think we're pretty sure it's not WiiWare. Because the price,
I don't know, it's that's
the price of it was listed initially, and it was 5,800 yen, which would make it a 5,800 point Wii game, because it's
I know what you're saying, but I don't think that price was in the Famitsu article.
Yeah,
that
so I'm not
was.
I'm not completely
only in the initial,
I'm not completely
like,
sure
listing.
it was told
it was on the site, but when I went to the site and when James Charlton, a Japanese correspondent, went to the site, we didn't see any mention of it in that regard.
Yeah, so I'm not completely sure how solid that is. But if it is actually a disc-based game, it's a very interesting, because you'd think it would be kind of thing either on DS or WiiWare. It's very, you know, a modern disc-based retail game got the balls to just be 2D and just do it the way it is.
Super Paper Mario is kind of 2D.
Yeah, but it's got the whole 3D
switching
thing.
It is 20 levels, though. The game, it says in the Famitsu article quite clearly that the game is 20 levels long, so...
20 levels is not very much on the standards of Wario Land.
That's not very informative as well, because you don't know what kind of structure these levels have or how long they are.
It's
pretty
huge.
Much meaningless, that statement. But it just seems interesting to me if it is a retail game, because it just doesn't happen terribly often. Super Paper Mario in itself is fairly exceptional in that regard, to the extent that that is a 2D game. And obviously with this, it's very more traditional video game 2D style, whereas Paper Mario kind of has its own quirky sort of aesthetic, and then they kind of built on top of that Super Paper Mario with the sort of equations in the air and all sorts of, you know, sort of wacky kind of details to it. So this is very much more orthodox in visual style, if you've seen it.
I would say if this is a disc-based game, it sounds like the kind of thing Nintendo... at least in America, might price as a budget title.
Well, the 5,800 point is below what quite a few Wii games would go for, I think, in Japan, if that were accurate.
Yeah, but that's a pretty typical price. It's not like a
It's not super budget, and I think, you might be right. They might move more aggressively.
It's maybe equivalent to, like, $40
in America. Yeah, I think that's about right.
I think they could really be more
aggressive in the US. You know, they might go to the $30, maybe, or... Because the US sort of culture about that sort of thing is a bit more techno-supremacist.
Yeah, I think what we really need to wait and see is who's developing it. If Suzak's developing it, the developers of Master of Disguise, we can just go ahead and review it now and put 4.5 down and just call it a day.
If it's an EAD title, then sweet.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to who's developing it, I think.
Yeah.
And we should find that out pretty soon.
Anyway, a new console Wario Land game, and not Wario World for GameCube, but like a real Wario Land 2D game. That's pretty unusual news and pretty exciting. Yeah. I mean, it could be really cool. So we'll have to see. That's coming out in Japan
July,
in a few months,
as usual.
I think
it's July the 24th, it's quite soon.
Right. It seems like a very sudden thing, but in Japan that's actually not that uncommon to announce a game just a couple months before it comes out. It's sort of a different culture in the media over there. So anyway, next story, Tecmo Bowl kickoff, and I'm really glad John came back to the show for the second segment so he could talk about this, because I know you're a huge fan.
For this. Me and Neil, actually, Ronigan, another staffer, we are just absolute Tecmo Bowl fanatics. And the coolest thing about this, I think, is, you know, when I heard that they were going to bring Tecmo Bowl to DS, I was like, that's kind of cool, depending on what they do with it, and they're actually going to have online play, which I think is absolutely amazing. I mean, they could pretty much
Yeah, in a football game, that could be really
well,
worthwhile.
Well, that's the whole thing. I was worried that they might just cheap it out and just say, oh, yeah, we're not going to do any online. We're just going to basically port one of the old Tecmo Bowls to DS and call it a day. You know? Like, I didn't really expect them with Tecmo. I don't really know. You know, they're not really renowned for any kind of, you know, online play, really. I can't think of any Tecmo games that are really, really online.
Dead or Alive.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Japanese games in general are not really known for being...
Exactly.
Online,
yeah, especially Dead or Alive games, but, and that's all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, especially like a sports game made by a Japanese company that's known for fighting games and
boobs.
You know,
no, they're known for
action
breast
games.
Physics.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of wary of that when I heard it came out, and also I heard that it was based on the original Tecmo Bowl, which isn't my favorite. I really like Super Tecmo Bowl.
I thought it was based on Super Tecmo Bowl. In error.
Yeah,
it looked like Super Tecmo Bowl in the new screenshot.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, the screenshots really surprised me, because if you think about the last DS game Tecmo release was Ninja Gaiden, and they're pushing the graphic capabilities so hard with that game, and then you look at the screenshots of the new Tecmo Bowl for DS, it looks like a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, I think that was their goal.
I think they're very much going for that kind of lapsed gamer or current gamer that has fond memories of Tecmo Bowl, aren't they?
You know, no, see, like that's all I so want. I mean, I would be perfectly fine if they could... port, like, literally take the SNES one and just put it on DS. I'd be perfectly fine, because I love that game so much, and it's just so ridiculously fun to me. They don't need to do anything to it. So,
John's getting hot under the collar for Super Tecmo Bowl.
I love Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, there's also a Wii version coming out in 2009.
Yes.
That we know very little of at the moment.
Yeah, see, the DS version is coming from the start of the NFL season, even though it doesn't have any NFL licensing, obviously, due to the exclusivity with EA.
No Bo Jackson.
No, you can make your own teams and everything, so...
Yeah,
you know.
But see, and which is also, I think, is really cool... And I don't understand why there isn't another NFL game from, like, you know, what is it, like, Sega or 2K Sports? Whoever had the other...
Well, 2K did one last year that was an utter failure, although I heard the quality wasn't
good
either.
Yeah, it was
with
the Hall of Famer players sort of signed up, and that was about it.
Well, there's no more NFL games because EA has the license.
Yeah, but I mean, what I don't understand, wasn't 2K Sports... 2K Sports was basically coming out with something that was beating Madden, right? Wasn't it 2K Sports that was coming out with... What I don't understand...
Right, the NFL 2K.
Yeah, what I never understood is, especially now, why don't they just have... I don't understand, first off, why they can't allow people to just, you know, just make their own content and put it on there. At least they could do that on the PS3. I mean, they do it for Unreal Tournament 3.
I think you can do that in the All-Pro game, and it's just the gameplay was so lackluster that
nobody
cared.
They had been out of the game so long that they just...
Because you can do that in NCAA football. You can, like, basically go in and rename all the characters to their to their real names, because it's pretty obvious who the people who the stats are based on.
They just...
And then people upload these things to GameFAQs. You can download them and insert it, and now suddenly you're playing with the real NCAA teams. So that would be easy enough to do. It's just a matter of there being... Is that a good market choice?
As I understand it, in the NCAA basketball series, they'll sometimes explicitly say who a player is. You know, they'll just be a number because by NCAA rules, they can't use their name. But they'll in some methodology explicitly get it out there that this person is supposed to be this guy.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, one of the trends of the industry, or so you always hear, is, you know, that the big thing now is content created by the players. Well, people that play these sports games are huge fans, and you know that the day that any game came out, even if they could put in just completely blank team rosters in there, within like a week, some absolutely fanatical gamer would sit there and just pour through every single stat and put in every single player and make a complete roster file, and it would be up on the net, and you would never ever have to, you know, it just...
Well, John, you're absolutely right about that. The problem is most of the people who buy that game won't know that such a thing exists online, and they'll be like, why don't these people have names? Who are these teams?
True,
who are the Red Raiders?
I think you could get around that by like doing something on MySpace, doing something on Facebook. Like, there's so many different communities online that you could tap into to just completely, you know, alleviate that.
I know, but if there's any official participation from the publisher in a thing like that, they're going to get in trouble with the license holder.
Yeah, things are going to go to hell quick. And then
in other words, you'd have to do it really underground, really indirectly. You'd have to like recruit fans to promote this to not only do the work of reprogramming it, but also to promote it and to get the word out to the mainstream to a large enough degree that you can make money on the venture. And that's the problem.
Well, they could promote the fact that you can create your own teams and upload them. And then they just have to hope that somebody comes out and makes a one call explicitly real
somebody
live teams.
Right. And that will happen. I mean, somebody will do that. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm saying is, like, the reason NCAA football sells well is not because people know you can go download all the real player names and everything. It's because they don't care.
Yeah.
It's because it's college football. What they care about is the fight songs, the stadiums, the mascots, and that's enough for most people. And if you want to go the extra step and get the real player names, you can put forth the effort to go out and find those downloadable files and do that. But most people don't do that. And there's enough people who don't give a shit about that who will still buy it that it's financially viable. And I think by whatever calculations, they've determined that in these other sports or in the NFL, it's not financially viable, and so they haven't done it. But, I mean, the Fire Pro approach, it just depends on the sport. It depends on the audience. It depends on how much of a pain in the ass is it to download all that stuff. There's so many factors that go into it. But, I mean, yeah, it's obvious to you because you would go through the effort to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't mean there are enough people out there who would do that to buy the game, you know? That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be realistic.
Yeah.
I'm a party pooper.
I mean, you're probably right. Well, I mean, in the sense,
I guess the question is just a matter of whether, you know, there's a niche to be had in terms of, well, you're not going to outsell Madden. You're not going to, you know, clobber them or even really directly compete. But it seems interesting that people seem to leave it so uncontested when these niche audiences could be profitable. Because that's what matters is you know, not necessarily that you have to outsell the competition or you have to do blisteringly well, but if you could put something together that makes a profit from these hardcore people that want a game that plays really robustly and they can customize it however they want, it seems like that's been untapped. Yeah. I think that's the point being made, and that's a reasonable point.
And there are other niches too, like the Mario sports games tend to be quite successful, and they're not expensive to produce. And honestly, I'm surprised there hasn't been a Mario football. Like American football. And I think the only reason is just that the sport is not well known in Japan where it would probably
be
made.
Will be. But I can almost assure you there's going to be one soon. Because club sport football in Japan is really becoming popular.
Yeah, and don't forget, there's actually a natural thing because Mario World was populated by football helmet wearing foes with football.
Oh, that's
and
true.
Stuff, so they've got the built in fan service
right there
waiting for it.
I bet you we will have one by the end of the Wii generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be really fun. And that's a game that doesn't need the NFL license. And again, how about Blitz? You know, they were going to do the unlicensed Blitz. Well, they did actually release that,
didn't
they?
That was Blitz the League.
The Blitz,
the
that was like, no license, and like you can watch the x-rays of the bones cracking as you tackle the guy
or
whatever.
Blitz is partially...
It did really badly.
Blitz is partially responsible for EA getting to buy the NFL license. Because the NFL originally didn't want to give EA the exclusive license.
Now they do. The company, now they actually kind of seek it. They're kind of proactive about it, I think, because they're so conscious about the brand, aren't they, that they want to control
it. The Blitz, NFL Blitz, the NFL was so aghast at what came out of it. It was just...
I don't think they were that aghast. I think...
There were official complaints from NFL teams. I mean, it was...
Well, yeah, the NFL is super conservative, okay? And I get that. They want it to be, like, the most whitewashed. That's why the XFL was created, you know? They were trying to basically influence... Well, what they wanted was eventually... I mean, I'm sure McMahon's dream for the XFL was that eventually it would be merged with the NFL, and some of their reforms, if you want to call them that, of the XFL would be integrated, just like they were with the AFL... Or the USFL back in
the 70s, USFL
okay? And the same thing happened with, like, the ABA in basketball when they merged with the NBA.
Right.
That didn't happen because the XFL wasn't successful
enough.
But they were trying to... they were trying to reform the NFL, basically. I don't think they had any illusions of grandeur that the XFL would be self-perpetuating and become a popular new league. But I think the reason that the NFL license went exclusive is that that EA mm-hmm. offered them so much money that they just decided that, you know, at that point, Sega was selling the 2K game, or Take-Two, I guess at that time, was selling the Take-Two NFL 2K games at $20.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
If that's a royalty-based system, that means the NFL is not making that much money off that game. And so, from the NFL's point of view, it was a good business decision to take EA's premium offer to get the exclusive license over having it as an open market.
Yep.
In other words, they're making more money this way.
They don't
care
gamers, period.
About competition.
They don't. It's not their concern.
They don't care.
Yep.
Right. And they know that EA is going to make the conservative Madden game that doesn't have broken bones because that's what they've done for the past 20 yep. years.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, please. Okay. Ubisoft, rage. There's so much to talk about here. Yeah. I know James is queuing up a rant, so let me get the announcements out of the way first. Shaun White Snowboarding is a new game, a new series from, I'm sure it's a new franchise, from Ubisoft, featuring the popular redheaded snowboarder from commercials, and I don't know, I don't follow snowboarding, so I only know him from the TV commercials where he's selling laptops and shit. but anyway, I mean, he's a young guy. He seems cool. The cool thing here is that the Wii version will support the balance board, and it sounds like it'll be significantly different from the other versions. Like, they're really trying to make it for the Wii. So that'll be interesting.
I'm curious if it'll be
there's also
balance board only though, because that
no, it won't be balance board only.
If,
no, it'll be optional.
If the balance board sells like it has been, there could very well be down the line balance board only games that don't come with the balance board.
No, what I think would be interesting is if Nintendo encouraged companies to make games that are only for the balance board, like you suggest, but they allow them to be bundled with the board.
Yeah, well, that could happen. I mean,
Guitar Hero on Tour is being bundled with the Nintendo DS in America.
Yeah. No, and in Japan, the Zappa's been bundled
precedent.
With everything, like Ghost Squad. Umbrella Chronicles. You know, it's not just with Link's Crossbow Training. In fact, because Link's Crossbow Training only just came out in Japan recently,
right.
In fact, it was bundled first with the third-party Zappa game. So they have a willingness to do that.
So see, you don't need trainers.
Even though the Zappa is actually completely perfunctory and it doesn't actually do anything, whereas the balance board does. But
right, yeah, we can all agree that the Zapper sucks. The balance board sounds like it's actually really cool, so that would be more worthwhile to be packaging with these other games. And the cool thing is, it might actually be a good idea because I think at some point people are going to want multiple balance boards.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
there's
Wii
an
Fit,
issue, isn't
I don't,
there?
I don't think Wii Fit supports multiple boards. But some of these snowboarding games and things very well could. And at some point, you might be like, you know what? I wouldn't mind picking up an extra board.
No.
So
there is
I'll
some issue with how many the Wii can recognize at once, isn't there? It can't recognize... Apparently, I've heard it can't recognize four at once like it could a remote. It may only be able to recognize two. I'm not sure. Apparently...
You know, I bet the limit is three. Because the balance board is a Bluetooth device, and it's designed so that you can have Wii Remote and balance board for each player, right? Because that's the way Wii Fit works, is you have the remote and the balance board. So but they're not connected to each other, so they're on separate connections. And I seem to remember when the Wii first came out, we heard that it supported up to seven Bluetooth devices at a time. And people are like, seven? That's kind of an odd number. And yeah, it is. I don't know why it's seven. But I bet you the limit for balance boards is three because of that fact.
It could be.
I
seem to remember hearing something along these lines. It certainly couldn't recognize four of them, but in terms of how limited.
Right.
But yeah, even so, as long as it can recognize more than one, the point still stands that...
Even a two-player balance board game could be really cool. And speaking of balance board, and speaking of multiplayer, Ubisoft also announced a new Rayman Raving Rabbit.
I hope
this one
they
is called
lose
TV Party.
Millions of dollars on it.
Not very likely.
You know what? This one actually excites me. They're kind of taking the WarioWare approach, and it seems like they're basing it on the peripheral itself. Like it's going to be this one might actually require the balance board. I mean, it sounds like it's very much about
the
balance board.
Yes, the game
board.
Is being hyped.
Like the videos and everything.
You can play the balance board with your ass.
Yeah, so apparently at least one of the ways you play the game, if not the primary way, and this is pretty interesting, is that you sit on the balance board. I mean, that's not a gimmick. You could actually, you know, like you'd be, instead of shifting your legs around or shifting your hips over your legs, you'd actually be shifting your torso over your hips. So it's actually, I think, a pretty legitimate way to use it. Obviously, they're playing it for gags because it's a comedy series. But, like, this could actually be like a, you could do like a horse riding game or something like that where you actually sit on the balance board and play a real game that way. I don't think it's a cheap gimmick.
After reading Wendy's review of the board, I just think that would be really uncomfortable. Because he was saying it actually
hurts. Oh, really?
His feet. If he's actually on the board for a while, in bare feet or stocking feet, it actually starts to bother his feet after a while because it's pretty hard. So I don't know about sitting on that thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What if you put like a pillow over it?
That could influence the dynamic, though.
Not that much. If it's a lumpy pillow and like the front is like thicker than the back, but if it's an even thickness pillow, then you know, it'll offset the forces, but all four quadrants should be offset the same amount, so you just would have to have an offset feature in the software. So if they're designing this thing to be sat on, and they know it's uncomfortable to sit on, they should include a pillow feature.
You said it's...
Maybe they should include
in the
pillow.
Setting. Go to the options, and you say, yes, yeah, I'm playing
Wendy
with a pillow.
Said that it's best if
click
you,
that.
If you're going to be playing for a long, long time, I don't know what long time is really, but it's best if you wear shoes. Like, you know, light shoes.
Or play with your hands like Power Pad style.
Yeah, if it hurts his feet, which are obviously more resilient skin than on your hands, what the hell must it feel like to do push-ups on?
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, it's not like you're going to be doing push-ups for hours on
end. I am.
End.
I'm in the Marine Corps.
Oh,
I got
okay.
these pipes are going to burst.
Which way to the
go,
gun show, James?
Oh, it's right here.
Raving Rabbits 3.
Maybe they'll include real
Wii.
Multiplayer this time.
Oh. Well, if it's centered around the balance board, I kind of doubt it, because they're probably going to assume you only have one.
Oh, good. They can just...
I mean, it'll be switch
it's
out.
It's the same assumption they made on every other Raving Rabbits game.
So it might be more legitimate this time.
Good job, Ubisoft, you cheap bastards.
Well, you know, Raving Rabbits 2... got pretty mediocre reviews, and it still sold over a million copies, I think. I mean, it seems like a pretty...
The first one's scores were completely inflated
money
because people were amused by the antics, but...
Yeah, it's a feel-the-magic situation.
The gameplay itself was pretty poor.
It's a shitty minigame collection that people get all, ooh, it's got an interesting aesthetic. These rabbits are really funny. Maybe, you know...
Yeah.
They inflate the scores. That happens
and,
with
and
launch
And the whole
games.
Deal with the multiplayer in that game was just inconscionable.
I heard that the sequel was better about that.
It had
that
to be.
You didn't have to unlock... Yeah, that you didn't have to unlock all the multiplayer. For that matter, WarioWare on the Wii is really bad about that. You have to beat the entire single-player game before you can play multiplayer at all.
Yeah, but it doesn't take especially long to beat the entire single-player, though.
No, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on. We've also got a new Dogs game that's exclusive for Wii. That's Dogs with a
that
Z.
That was me pounding my fist into Ubisoft.
Dogs. Yes, into your keyboard is named Ubisoft.
Let me say this right now. When I was uploading screenshots from Ubi Days, because nobody else seemed apparently interested enough to do it, I thought this game was a DS game, and when the profile was being made, selected it to DS, just based on the absolutely horrendous screenshots. This game is so ugly,
man.
It makes Nintendogs look pretty. This might actually be the ugliest game of the generation, usurping the title from Target Terror or from that god-awful Cruisin'. If the graphics come out looking like this and we give it anything above a 2, I am going to use whatever authority I have to change it well below that. Because
I somehow doubt Ubisoft will be eager to send us a review copy of this or send anyone review copies of this.
Point, really?
It is
no one goes online to read reviews of the
but
newest
wait a minute.
Dogs.
We won't get it. If we review that game, we won't get it because we're not casual gamers, man. Don't you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hope we do review it. I hope we can find it you know, for $5 somewhere, and we can write about it because it'll be hilarious.
I think we need to give it to...
They're not sending us a copy.
We need to give it to Deg.
Yeah,
let him review it.
Yeah, I don't know. So they've also announced a game to help you quit smoking on the DS. I think it's called My Health Coach Quit Smoking.
Yeah.
F that.
Yeah. I mean, interesting idea, but honestly, if you have tried everything else to quit smoking and now you've come to the DS as your last resort...
I'm sorry. It's over for you.
I'm going to say maybe go to the doctor. I mean, my friend Taylor has tried to quit smoking a couple times, and he made a comment to me. I think this is very true. If you're trying to quit smoking and you don't go to the doctor, you're not really trying. Because it's some serious shit to quit smoking. I mean, it's hard to do. If you don't go to an expert and get some real professional help, you're not taking it very seriously, and you're probably going to fail. And I don't know. I just think a DS game to help you quit smoking is like the ultimate... It's like the thing that you do to placate someone who's nagging you that you should quit, you know? Yeah. You're like, well, I bought this DS thing. Maybe this will work. It's like you don't really care. You just want to, like, show the minimal effort.
A game is this. A game where you have to be a smoker to use it on the DS. So we've cut down our market to this tiny little niche market.
Well, Penny Arcade commented on that, and they joked that maybe they'll give you the pre-order bonus as a carton of cigarettes, so you'll actually get addicted so that you can learn to quit.
I think we can,
reasonably
infer from
this
that the development costs were sufficiently small that they could actually make a profit by selling about 15 copies.
I hope we get a review copy of this, because this we need to give to Deg.
Yeah, see...
There's no way in hell. What? Maybe Jeff doesn't smoke. I don't think he does.
That's not why we'd give it to him.
Like, I wonder if you beat the game, if it becomes like, you know, like a Mario Kart where everything is backwards, so you actually learn to smoke.
Oh,
you're anti-health coach.
You can
learn
play
to
back
start smoking. I know you're coughing. Just keep puffing on it.
I think we already have an anti-life coach that teaches you to do all the bad things. It's called Grand Theft
Auto. Oh.
I'm not hating. I love it. So, along with this crap for Wii and DS, they also announced a gorgeous, awesome-looking new Prince of Persia game that's actually not even coming.
And they also announced the gorgeous new Beyond Good and Evil that's also not coming to Wii.
Oh, yeah, also not coming to Wii. But we kind of already knew that.
But yeah, you're missing out an important part of Ubisoft's strategy, which is the Imagine games, including my personal favorite. Imagine a game you'd actually be interested in, because you'll bloody well have to.
Oh yes, I need to read off the Imagine series.
Girl band or something? Girl band?
Oh, it gets better than that.
So bad. Oh my goodness.
I still have all the stuff on my desktop for because I haven't bothered to delete it all yet. I'm logging into the UbiDay site. It's just easier. All right. I'm going to read their games for everyone. Imagine brand. That's just the overall discussion of it. My Secret World by Imagine. That is essentially your own personal diary for all your pink and purple wishes, but it has Wi-Fi connection with voice chat.
Metacritic review score policy development in action there.
Imagine fashion model, where you don't get to design clothes, you get to digitally wear them.
Oh, God. Now I'll never be a teen model!
Hold on. Imagine teacher. I didn't even read the fact sheet for that one. I just sent it straight on to Pale. Imagine girl band.
Yeah,
this one got a fact sheet sent to Pale with the phrase, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait. I can already describe to you the gameplay of Imagine teacher. A text screen that comes up that says, take all the money out of your pocket, tear it in half, and flush it down the toilet.
Oh.
Now you're a teacher.
My health coach, the easy way to...
My mom's a teacher, so I take this personally.
My health coach, the easy way to stop smoking. My weight coach, manage your weight, which is essentially Wii Fit on the DS.
Yeah, that's going to work.
And here's our Wii games. Baby's Party,
yeah,
which is a mini game that focuses on hydrocephalic babies wearing what appear to be swimming donuts. And pets, P-E-T-Z, dogs, D-O-G-Z, for Wii, which apparently they both need to point out that it's a Wii game because the graphics look like they're from the fucking DS. Uh-huh. So they had to actually put Wii in the title so people like me who were uploading the screens at 4 in the morning wouldn't be convinced there was a clerical error and this was a damn DS game.
Yeah. By the way, Imagine Babies was in the top 10 DS titles in the April NPDs.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, that game is actually... it's like a Carnival Games kind of thing. Like, you're not going to see it in the top 10 overall, but if you look at the platform specific, it's going to be in the top 10 everywhere.
By the way...
Imagine Babies.
The European version of Imagine Babies has a watermarked image on it.
Oh,
one of
really?
The babies, there's four babies that are in circles on the side around this girl who looks like she's 14 holding a baby. And the game is rated 3+, which seems to be their indication of if you're 14 or 3, whichever one, you should go get knocked up. But one of the four babies has one of the companies that sells stock images, stockphoto.com, has their watermark on the fucking baby in the European version.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to tell us that it was like the Okami thing where it was like some gaming site had their logo on it. That would be so funny because not only would it be shameful for Ubisoft for making the same mistake Capcom did, it would be shameful for the gaming site for having uploaded images of Imagine Babies on there. And now the whole world knows.
It's shameful in that they illegally used copyrighted images for a game that should have never existed to begin with.
No, dude, they're making so much money on that. More power to them, I guess. So yeah, lots of stuff from Ubisoft. Some of it good,
most of it bad.
Some of it not.
But
yeah, I mean, the new Prince of Persia looks so awesome, and they are making a DS version that will be totally different. And apparently, this hasn't been officially announced, but there's some French website that's claiming that they're all, and this is likely that they're making a separate game for Wii. It's not like a port of the new Prince of Persia, but hopefully it'll use the same art style, because that game looks awesome. It's like cel shade, it's really colorful, looks amazing.
Well, in response to the general hate that Ubisoft is getting, completely deservedly, what some person from Ubisoft released a statement that is offensive to read.
It looks more like a forum
post.
Yeah,
I think something like that in response to...
Or some kind of letter, like someone emailed them and this was their customer service rep.
Yeah, it's just offensive. I mean, it basically it says, hey, parents aren't looking for Prince of Persia or Rainbow Six for their Wii-holding children. They're looking for stop smoking. So that we and DS owning children. Apparently. Fuck you, man. No. Yeah.
Apparently, that's the answer. Is that because only children have Wiis, and their parents buy the Wiis for their children. That's why we're releasing dogs
and
on the Wii exclusively.
Quote, if you look at the most successful Wii games, they're not amazing new AAA games, but predominantly family-oriented / alternative games. That's not true, though.
Yeah, you might want to check out Super Mario Galaxy and Smash Brothers Brawl.
I mean,
Brawl
I think, to be
Mario
fair,
Kart
along
Wii.
With this and their previous assertions about aspirations to Nintendo-like quality, if I were anyone in Nintendo's employ, I'd feel compelled to just walk into their offices and slap someone in the face at this point. Because they're saying...
And while we're naming examples of hardcore games that sold a lot on Wii, how about Red Steel?
Yeah.
Their own game
that
sold over
bad.
A million copies. And it's not even good.
But it's not.
Can you imagine
casual.
If they made Red Steel 2 and it actually was high quality? Yeah, what it would sell? And it actually had blood, like the title suggests? Yeah.
I can't imagine that because I'm not convinced they could physically make a good shooting game right now.
It
I'm not convinced
that
they
way.
Can do it.
Because one has to think that they would have done that. If they could, they would have done
Far
it.
Far Cry Vengeance. What the hell happened in that game? That game was a whole clusterfuck of problems.
Yeah, or even 13, like the last generation. 13, not a good game. Like, really cool looking, but not good. Yeah, Ubisoft is not known for first-person shooters.
And the most insulting part of this...
Except for Far Cry,
that
which is...
the GameCube owners, people who were diehard GameCube fans, we can agree, have bought Wii's.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And guess what console, Beyond Good and Evil...
Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition. It's a fucking port of a game that most of us already owned, and we still bought it.
Yeah, but guess...
It sold millions of copies.
Platform, Prince of Persia's all three versions and Beyond Good and Evil Soul best on?
The GameCube. It's sort of like the Soul Calibur thing. You know, Soul Calibur 2 sold best on the GameCube, but then they went after that on 3. They didn't have a GameCube version.
Right, because it was Sony.
In Ubisoft's defense, saying that Beyond Good and Evil sold the best on GameCube is not saying much.
No, but
that's like 6,000 copies versus 5,000 copies.
But considering the difference in platform sales, that should be a relatively important piece of information.
But I mean, the point is, if they want to, they've clearly made a business decision to diversify in the sense that they're going to have these low risk, sort of good reward, feeder type games on the Wii and the DS, and you know, they're not putting much monetary investment, but they're not putting much creative investment either, you know, because it is possible to have a good game on there without a lot of money put into it, but instead they just put in this kind of stuff, and then they're gonna go AAA with, as they would put it, on the HD consoles. But you know, and then that's fine, but you don't have to assert that you can't have a AAA game on the Wii. You know, that's what's offensive about it, is that it's kind of like, oh well, obviously we're making, you know, they pretty much admit they're making these kinds of, you know, uncreative, you know, ventures for Wii, but they're like, well, everything's like that, so what's the difference? What are you complaining about? You know, that's the part of it that's offensive.
Yeah, and apparently Ubisoft's idea of releasing a AAA game on Wii is porting a 2-year-old Prince of Persia game from GameCube and selling it at full price with no extra features. I guess they were really disappointed with the sales of that.
Yeah,
well,
that's Nintendo been the MO. Pissed off, and that's why they're upset. Because they gave Ubisoft most favored status early on in the Wii. They were the first third party to get a development kit.
Yeah, and they were at E3 with you know, when it was unveiled and everything, you know, front and center with Red Steel and things like that.
Nintendo should be furious. I mean, this isn't the kind of treatment they expect when you know, reward a publisher like this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the whole.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's time to pull out the old
platform holder publisher relationship, because we don't really know who wears the pants in that relationship, and it probably changes from time to time based on whether you're at launch or the end of the cycle.
I would say based on
whatever.
Platform sales, Nintendo probably holds the pants right now.
Nintendo's definitely wearing some big pants.
I would say. They could right now afford to be like the NES Nintendo in a certain respect to Ubisoft.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they should.
Or they want
be.
To be.
I don't know. Right now, I think
they could afford to be. That doesn't mean they should be. I mean, I agree. It seems like they've let Ubisoft go a little bit, but you got to think. I mean, here's the deal. It's Ubisoft's money.
I mean,
it's their money to lose. They had a shitty year last year.
Oh, awful.
Okay, other than Rainbow Six Vegas. Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed, those were their big games last year. On the Wii, they had a terrible year. They released like 5 or 6 games, and they all sold like shit, except for Raving Rabbids 2, which didn't do as well as the first one. And it's their fault.
Yeah.
That's the thing. What does Nintendo need to do? It's not like Nintendo needs to punish Ubisoft. They punish themselves. I'm just saying, to some degree, the market will work itself out. I don't want to be like totally laissez-faire here, but it's not true. It's not a truly free market anyway. But what I'm saying is, it's not like you know, we're complaining because we do want these good games. The only reason we care is because Ubisoft does make good games. They're just not releasing them on the Wii now.
Yeah.
You know, they did make some good games last year. They made Rainbow Six Vegas and Assassin's Creed, and neither one of those came out on Wii.
But they put out Call.
So that's why we're pissed off.
I think.
But from Ubisoft's point of view, it's money that they've lost, and they have paid a price for it. They need to make better decisions.
They're free to do what they want, obviously, and Nintendo's pretty non-interventionist these days, so that's fine. I just won't buy their games, and some people will, and they'll enjoy them, and they'll probably make a modest profit on them, and that's fine. I just don't see why you have to, in sort of, you know, rationalizing your approach, why you have to take this, like, well, that's just what the Wii is, the whole thing. Because that's you could just say, well, this is the strategy we're going for. This is what we think will work for us, rather than, well, the whole platform's that kind of rubbish. You know,
that's where I think they should be on the phone asking them what the hell are they doing.
Yeah, because
this letter, we should give credit to Golden Phoenix in the forums. She posted this letter. I'm not sure where she got it.
I did some background research on it. It's popped
thread.
Up on a couple sites now.
Okay. It seems like the kind of thing Kotaku
yeah,
or somebody would
a couple more reputable sites,
jump on.
Too, so I'm pretty confident that it actually came
yeah.
out. I mean, I would – if I were like at NOA or NOE right now and leave NCL out of it, I would just be like, if you don't put out some kind of statement after this one, you won't be featured in anything we do at E3. Or you won't even be talked about at E3 by us. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, who posted this thing though? I mean, was it like anybody?
No, it just seems like it seemed like it was just some
was
random.
It some customer
I mean, it sounds like
anybody
rap
in your company is you are responsible for whatever your company says publicly. I mean,
yeah, I mean it is. I mean, if you
I
wanna...
agree, but that doesn't mean Nintendo should be publishing Ubisoft. Maybe it means Ubisoft should be punishing the person who wrote this letter
and to be
the
fair,
Wii's
that normally with these sorts
of
things that normally happens quite speedily. You know, and it may well do
right.
in this case, considering it is kind of there's an implication or an inference that you know you could look, interpret it as like they're saying that Smash Brothers or Mario isn't like a AAA game, which is obviously an insult. To Nintendo.
Yeah.
Remember the guy who said two GameCubes were duct taped together?
He got smacked around.
I don't think Nintendo had
no,
anything
they don't
to
have
do with
to.
That
it's
guy
just
changing
threat,
his tune. I think his boss told him.
Well, I mean, what if this came from somebody who is relatively high up in Ubisoft? Then would it be appropriate for Nintendo to make a backdoor contact?
They won't have
contact?
To. They just won't. You know, it's they piece through piece
possibly,
through strength.
But if you read the letter, it does not read like something an executive. For one thing, executives are never that verbose.
Yeah.
They sign off. They don't even. You know, when you read press releases and it has statements from the president of the company, the president didn't even write that. The PR person wrote it, and the president said, "Okay, I approve," or changed this word.
I think this was
and
just
all
somebody
it.
That was.
So you're just.
But
you don't
this was
get
just
that
in
kind
somebody
of
that was inundated with
from
negative
a,
feedback from you know fans probably.
But
so
Ubisoft
they're going to be
is
someone
that's
positioned to receive that. So it can't be that high up.
It sounds like the kind of like a community manager kind of person.
Something.
Someone who's already paid to troll the boards.
That's only on our
know.
Site. Are you paid to troll the boards? No other community.
You're getting
no,
paid?
No other community manager on the internet is supposed to troll his message boards.
All right. Well, that's enough about Yubi. I mean, I don't want to make it a hate parade. I'm excited about Shaun White and. I'm excited about Prince of Persia. I'm excited to play it on my future Xbox 360 or whatever. But, you know, I think they're making some poor decisions here. I don't care if they make the new dogs for Wii. I'm not going to buy it. It doesn't affect me anyway. What I do care about is if, as the letter suggests, this is basically their strategy, is basically they're saying, well, people who own Wiis don't even want Prince of Persia. You know, they want dogs. Well, I don't believe that's true. Just because some people... But dogs may be a big seller, as we've seen with Imagine Babies. That doesn't mean these other games couldn't sell, too. And I guess that's what we're all...
Yeah, it bothers
insensitive.
Me that they aren't even trying. That's what really bothers me.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, well, they certainly didn't try in 2007. I think in this year, with the snowboarding game, and even with Rayman Raving Rabbids using the balance board, it seems like maybe they are trying a little harder this year. Not as much as I would like. Not certainly not the promise that we thought Yubi would be when we launched.
In 06, they released a litany of crap. And then in 07, they released a few games. And then in 08, they're releasing what appears to be a litany of crap.
Well, the thing is now is that people actually realize that you can make money with casual games on the Wii. And so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool. That doesn't have to take away from... I don't have a problem with that, but it shouldn't take away from your portfolio for other types of gamers.
It'll correct
right.
itself, though, because, I mean, there'll be a glut of casual games. Then there'll be no money in casual games anymore, so there'll be probably a couple of hardcore games.
Right. It will correct itself, but in the meantime, we're going to miss
dogs,
out on
babies
some cool
party.
Shit. You know, we're going to miss out on some really cool games.
The thing is, though, I think
until it corrects
imagine
itself,
baby
and that's the shame.
Dogs.
Is there's so much
the thing
lag
is, I
in
think
the
Nintendo
market.
Kind of dug its own grave on that one because there's no way that a company is going to come along and say, like Grand Theft Auto 4 is a perfect example. There's no way a company is going to come along and say, well, okay, I'm going to spec it out for 360 and PS3, and then I'm going to put an entirely different team on this dumbed down Wii version. That's just not going to happen.
I know. Yeah, from a technical perspective, it really makes me wish the Wii was as powerful as the other systems so that we could get that parity.
Yeah, but I think even then it would take a whole other team. If we didn't if we were getting those ports, I think we'd get a lot of bad waggle control.
Yeah.
We get that anyway.
We get a lot more bad
They haven't prevented
control.
That in any shape or form.
We would get even more of it.
I don't know about that. That would be hard to prove. By the way, in Ubisoft's defense, they're publishing Protothea on
But you said it
WiiWare
wasn't good, remember?
I haven't played it. I said it looked boring in
and
the video, but it's certainly not
it's
a casual game.
It's a PC port. I mean...
Hey, I'm just okay. saying. It's not a casual game, and they are being proactive with WiiWare. So
Kinda.
We'll see where it goes from there, you know?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Next week.
All right. I need to end the show before I permanently damage my vocal cords.
Yes.
So, thanks, guys, for being here. We're right back in action with the...
Oh, my God. This is
you know,
a long
the
podcast.
Way it always is. Aren't we? Yeah, I mean, it's churning out 2 hours again. And I'm glad John could join us for the second segment, even though we really made fun of you in the first segment quite a bit.
Always a pleasure. My sultry smooth voice is always... good to have on the podcast.
John, I really hope you'll listen to this episode after it gets published.
Yeah, that was the plan all along. Just getting to listen for once.
Indeed.
Worked out perfectly.
Yeah, because I heard that you often don't listen to the episodes.
I don't, but I edited them already.
No. Yeah. I have to start doing that now, because just in case something
yes.
said that I don't know about. I also have to check out my stingers. I'm sure there's some stingers on there as well.
Yeah, I always listen to the show, but... I kind of like it's like it requires minimal attention because I kind of already know what's going to be said, so it's like something I do while I play a game or something. But I'm always excited on the rare weeks where I'm not on the show. It's really exciting for me to listen to it then. It's like the old days, you know, when I wasn't on the show.
That was great
all the time,
about 100 for
and
me.
And I got excited.
Just got my podcast back. It's quite nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't quite like that for me because I was on most of the show. I mainly listened to that one for the highlight reel, which was very satisfying. Very fun. All right. Anyway, we'll close it out. So thanks for listening. You may send your feedback on all of our ranting to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. And you can review us on iTunes. You can recommend us to your friends. It's always nice to get new listeners. And we don't really advertise the show. Every time I start a thread on Gaff, it gets like 2 replies and then dies.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's very sad. It's like, no, I don't know, the people there aren't interested in Nintendo podcasts. If you know someone who's interested in a Nintendo podcast, tell them. It's fucking free. We don't even have advertisements. You don't even have to go to our website to download it. You can go to iTunes.
Should we hate on the Go Nintendo podcast, or should we just close it out?
Hate? I've never listened to it. Is that hating on it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You shouldn't listen to it. There we go. There's our hate.
Okay, there you go.
No,
yeah, I think it's fairly safe to say that we're the best Nintendo podcast. I don't think that's egotistical. There aren't that many to begin with. And we've been around for I know that The Wire has more episodes than we do, but I didn't think it was all that great. I listened to a few episodes.
No,
I mean, I haven't heard it recently.
Award?
Now you've said
you know
that
what?
It's going to be
competition
like...
makes everyone work better. So,
podcast Rumble.
You know, I totally support those other guys doing what they do, and maybe I should listen to them and steal all of their good ideas.
I totally did that as community manager.
But I think what we have is pretty badass. So there you go. All right, that's the end of the episode. Thanks.
Later.
See you next week. Bye.
Later.
Bye. Bye. Should have never mentioned the audio.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place a bit. It's like slowing down, speeding up. It's a little jumpy.
During the break, I said the audio quality had improved greatly, and then I made a joke that I've now doomed us to a horrible call.
So this is this. It seems almost like Brawl. You know, the fourth person jumps on and everything goes to shit.
No, it was going to ship when the third person jumped on.
It was shit before that, but then that's perfectly plausible in the Brawl analogy as well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to kind of get better and then get worse, and hopefully we won't get cut off again, but yeah, you know, that's them's the breaks. Sometimes it's just like that.
Yeah, the best, though, is John
was
talking.
Snoop Dogg.
What?
It's like that in the it's like some like Snoop Dogg song or something. Yo, it's like that in the LBC. Sometimes my podcast
like
just
and
goes
like
down,
that and like this, son.
Sorry, man. I just struck me
like
as funny.
That and like this and like that.